What is up, you washed up slot machine junkies? I'm Marcel, and you were listening to Medi Meta. This is a baby making podcast, and what I mean by that is that I'll read you the phone book for the next hour or so. My smooth, velvety voice puts your significant other in the mood faster than you can shuffle a triple mulligan. Brainstorm Brewery is brought to you by GatheringMagic.com and CoolStuffInc.com. Show your support.
What is up, you sexy little fuckers? I'm Kevy Metal.
And I'm Maddie Studios.
And I'm Marcel.
I'm Jason Ault.
This is the MTGO Ferret.
This is Slick Jagger.
I'm number 88.
And if you're wondering what's going on, welcome to Mevy Meta. Your choice for financial Vegas information.
PG-13. Not the gold cross
fucking
the line.
Bit. So everybody, this is a special episode, because we only do special episodes here. This is
I gotta
a fair...
say I'm proud of us for not fucking that up.
Yeah.
And the only reason we didn't fuck that up is cause you let me go first.
No,
it's just you haven't drank enough yet.
I was just gonna say we're post recovering from Vegas.
I'm still drinking, I just haven't got enough in me yet.
So you just slowed down. So everybody, welcome to a special episode of Heavy Meta Brainstorm Brewery. We're doing a first, I think. I don't think I've ever heard of this before. We're doing a combo cast. And if you're listening to this on Mana Deprived or Gathering Magic, enjoy. Welcome and experience the wonder of dual casting.
Because like there's no point in us telling the same stories twice, you know, like because yeah. We were in the same house, we all saw the same thing, so you know.
Well, we stories didn't all see exactly the same things. So
that was not in Maddie's taxi cab, for example.
I like that we're doing this, but it almost might have been better to have us separately do our own versions of the stories and then find out which ones don't match up. And whose side of what story sounds better.
Welcome to the Rashomon episode of the cast.
Yeah. So if everyone doesn't know, of course, GP Vegas happened and all of us were fortunate enough to sell our souls to get down there for, in my opinion, the best fucking weekend I've had in 10 years. And I hope that's unanimous.
Sam's the Ferret. Unfortunately, I didn't get through the TSA.
Sorry, get the fuck off this cast right now. You don't qualify. Ferret's here for a very important reason because he's going to ask the questions that, you know, hopefully that you guys have. Or he's probably going to call us out on our bullshit, but somebody's got to be the grounding rod here because we all just had too much fun. Am I right?
Yeah, I'm in euphoria right now. I'm still on cloud 9. Like, I'm in Vegas right now.
I don't know how the fuck I'm supposed to follow that up. That was my first fucking GP. Now I'm like thinking about going to fucking Oakland. I'm like, oh, cool. Marcel will be there.
Yeah. All
right. Yeah. And nothing against Marcel, but it's like, how do you fucking beat that weekend that we just had? The next GP I go to, I'm going to be like, this is garbage. I quit Magic. Fuck this.
Yeah. I'm kind of worried because I'm going to be busy with work and then there's not no barbecue situation like that. We're not going to rent a house and it's going to be like, you come up here for the GP, you're going to be like, this is fun.
I mean,
with three people, guys? Come on.
Yeah, I mean, I'm the same.
I might actually play some Magic if I go up to fucking, actually just go to the fucking GP and I don't have that happening. I might play some Magic over the course of the whole fucking weekend.
I mean, I'm with you guys. Like, I don't think many things we're gonna do in the next couple of months are gonna come close to that. It's gotta wear off a bit. But for those that don't know, we're gonna try to tell the cast. We're not gonna say, oh man, that was an amazing time. We're gonna be descriptive. We're gonna tell you the inside stories. We're gonna tell you everything that happened. And we're going to try and give you, like, if you were there, you know, like, because that's what we experienced. And maybe next time, maybe Modern Masters 2, if you have a chance, don't fucking miss it because, you know, we'll all be there.
So, I have a quick question real quick for you fuckers that are here on Skype. Did my new picture show up on the fucking screen?
Yeah, it's really
Darth Vader.
It's really offensive.
I was trying to troll the hell out of you guys, and it actually makes me upset that not one of you just said, Kevin, change your picture.
Here's what I thought happened here, Kevin, because I heard the rumor that Helen was going to be on the cast, so I just kind of figured, well, that's how she knows it's Kevin.
Thank God you're listening to this, folks, and you're not seeing what we're seeing. We're getting a close-up view of his package, and it's just, it's wrong. So
keep trying to look at Norbs.
Just keep looking at the penguin, and y'all be safe. So everybody, it started off, just so everyone can tell their quick story, like how they got there. Let's do that quick. So I flew out Thursday, and I hooked up with Durf and Rye ABC, which are two fucking solid guys. You probably know them already. And we went to the gun range day one.
I wanted to go there.
Told me about that.
So I didn't really get a chance to tell anyone this story. So we
you
literally
told me about it. Durf.
Yeah, yeah. So I literally landed, and Ryan and Durf were there already. They had been there a whole day, and they're like, "Okay, let's go." And I threw my bag in my room. Literally, just I got off the plane, threw my bag, and like, we're going to the gun range. I'm like, okay, fuck, well, that's, I guess, what you do the first thing you're in Vegas. And we get there, and we drop, like, $100 each to shoot, like, 50 rounds, like, assault rifles and pistols and stuff. And it looks like it's empty. We get in the door, and there's, like, a lineup of, like, 55 people. And they're, like, girls and, like, people from, like, Lithuania, and they have no idea what a gun is. And I guess it's this thing, right? So we wait, like, a good hour and a half. We get in there. And the first thing the guy says, he's like, look, man, I've had guns pointed at my face all day. Rule number one is if you point the gun at my face, I'm punching you in the head. That's just the way it goes. You keep the gun downrange. So we shot off a bunch of rounds. Frickin' Durf was hilarious. He is so he's so sharp, but he was just fired off rounds like a trooper. It was just awesome, man. And
that's one thing out of Vegas that I was upset that I missed. Like, when you told me that, like, Durf was firing rounds off at the gun range, like, just to be able to have seen that, I'd have fucking given up half my weekend.
I don't know why.
Did they give him a real gun?
Yeah, oh, they gave him an assault rifle, dude. It was throwing him back.
They would take one look at Durf and hand him, like, a Derringer or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
it's pocket-sized.
It was a trip, man. It was a totally awesome time. So we ended up after that, I believe we just frickin' went out, ate some good food, chilled out, and then, of course, Friday happened. How did you guys enter Vegas? What was your, Kevy, I know you were probably blitzed going into Vegas.
No, I did. Like, I think that was the problem. I started off strong Friday night when we got there, just because, like, I got off work. I was, like, hauling ass trying to get off work. David and I fucking were planning on leaving by 6 because we both got off at 5. I think we got out of here by, like, 6:15, 6:30, something like that. And it was just, like, it just blazed straight to Vegas, haul some ass, let's fucking go. And so we're sitting there, like, drinking rock stars on our way to Vegas for this awesome weekend. So by the time we got there, we walked in the house, and they were, like, cubing. Well, fuck that. And so we just decided to start hammering down booze. And, like, that first night was fun just in its own. Just, like, meeting a few, like, just walking in, getting to put the faces to the fucking Twitter avatars.
Now like, who did you see when you first walked in? I'm always curious.
Well, I think the first person I saw was
Stevie.
We couldn't find the fucking house. And then, like, I thought we found it, but we pulled into the, like, gated area, and I was like, well, there's a fucking FedEx truck parked in this fucking yard. I don't know if this is where we're supposed to be. And so I was like, oh, I got Stevie's number. I'll call him. I'm like, hey, where the fuck is the house? And then, like, Stevie comes walking down, like, you could see him in the window talking on the phone, and I was like, I'm assuming that's Stevie because he's talking on his phone right now, too. All I've seen is his like half of his face on his Twitter avatar, but I'm assuming that's probably him. And he came, we're like, yeah, that's it. All right, cool. So Stevie was the first guy I saw. And then I walked in, met a couple different people. Norbert fucking blew me away because I have no fucking clue what Norbert looks like. And I'm like, oh, Norbert! It was awesome. And Marcel, I knew exactly who Marcel was when I walked in, but it was like everybody else was like, oh, hey, I'm so-and-so. I was like, oh, holy shit. Oh, that makes sense now. As soon as they start talking, you're like, oh, yeah. I get it.
Now, Marcel, did you have – now, this is the story I wanted to hear because this man, if you didn't know, this man put on a show. Like, not only did he take almost took down the fucking GP, but he rented the sickest mansion pool tables, frickin', like, I walked in and I was like, are you fucking kidding me? I made the biggest mistake not staying here. Like, top of that, he had a fucking gourmet, like, it was a fucking, it was like a Vegas buffet of meat.
Dude, when we walked in, like, we're like, hey, we got some fucking, we got these cases of fucking booze, fucking sent us. We got fucking places, let's see, we got any place to put this? He's like, well, you could see if you could find some room in the freezer. The fridge is full. And I opened the fridge and literally the entire refrigerator was just packed full. Like, not like exaggerating packed full, but completely stuffed full of these gigantic bags of fucking meat. It's just all, this weekend's gonna be fucking awesome.
It was so much meat.
How did you do this, Marcel? Like, what happened there? That was insane how you did this. Tell me how you pulled it off.
Knocked over a butcher shop in Oakland.
Exactly. We came in, there's guns going, just fill up the bags. I need some chicken thighs and I need some hot links.
In a mask, fucking walks up to the counter with a note to fill up the bags.
I don't want the money. I don't want the money. I want the meat.
Yeah, keep the money. Fill up the bags with chicken.
Was Tyrone with you? Give me the chicken.
Oh, see, because we had to split it down the middle. He would have took half of it. So I wanted to make sure I could bring it all to Vegas. Now, it was what's it called? My friend, he's a chef, so he has a hookup at a restaurant's wholesaler. So that's basically what happened. But the problem is, we actually bought too much meat. Like, I picked out enough, and then he was like, are you sure that's enough? And I started telling him how much it was, and, you know, he's usually better at portioning stuff, so I bought, you know, probably more meat than we should have. So that was the problem. So I was always worried about, you know, trying to cook my meat, make sure the meat was good.
Well, let me tell you, you did that.
Hey, when you're in Vegas, that's the number one thing that needs to be on your mind is your meat.
Exactly.
Got to make sure that shit's safe.
You got to make sure your hot dogs are in and your hot links going.
Right.
Now I heard that probably the most interesting story of how they got here is Jason. Like, did you guys actually drive Cripple Command and all you guys drove?
Literally drove.
For 3 days.
We got up around like 11, 12 on Monday. We drove all the way down to Oklahoma to pick up Corbin because we hate ourselves. And then we drove with Corbin trying to shop crawl. And really, once you get like Oklahoma going west on like it's M40 or something like that, it's pretty bad. There was about 2 or 3 hours in between towns that actually had shops. And you get there and there's like one shop in the whole town. And they're like, nope, we don't really have anything you guys want to buy. We're selling singles at Star City. I was actually surprised when we shop crawled to GP, I think it was Minneapolis. Like, we had a million shops. There's just people trading. We got a million trade binders, bought shops that are going out of business. So the shop crawl aspect of it wasn't great, but we found a shop that was going out of business.
No way.
We tripled up on his stuff. We actually found it on Craigslist, not even the Wizard store locator or whatever. So this wasn't, like, if this had been a shop crawl, like, we would have taken 2 weeks to do it, not like 3 days. So it was whatever, but that was just to justify the driving because plane tickets would have been ridiculous. And, with three drivers, it's actually not really that bad. And when we came home, we actually just drove straight back. We stopped in Oklahoma for like 6 hours to nap, but we pretty much did it in 2 days, just driving straight back.
Now,
it wasn't
too
bad.
Is this kind of like the Star City Games disease where shop owners like are kind of getting too up on the prices and they're just going right off Star City anymore and you can't find deals?
You don't even really want to take the singles away from those shops because they've got a player base and that's why they're charging Star City. What you want is like the rickety broken down computer repair shop where the guy's got like one dusty old binder in the back and he's like, hey, guy, how much you want for artifact mutation? I don't know. Let me look at this Scry magazine from 1997. You're like, $10 dual lands for me. So you don't want, if you end up at a shop where people play, you want to get there when people are like doing an event so you can trade with them or, you know, do a booster draft or whatever. But if you're trying to find deals, you either want shops that are going out of business, shops that have a lot of bulk, like Pokemon bulk, because Pokemon bulk is still like worth, you know, five times as much as Magic bulk.
What?
Or you? Yeah, it really is. I don't know why. Blame Canada.
Nobody's buying that shit up here. What are you talking about?
Okay, man. Whatever you say, man. That's not what Troll and Toad told me.
Yeah.
That's why they dump all that poop.
Fucking kids, man. Those Canadian kids. I'll have to set them straight.
You gotta get out there, Maddie. You gotta get out there with a bottle of whiskey and fucking
and scare them all.
Straight.
Ship them over to Robot, have them play Kajujo.
Oh, fuck Kajujo, man. I'll be like, I'll show you fucking Pikachu. No, I'm just kidding. So, we'll kind of hit on, one of the funniest stories, I think, of actually getting here to Vegas.
Real Good quick, work. One thing I gotta say is, have you guys noticed, like, at least maybe this is just me, but like, this cast, now that I've actually hung out with all you fuckers for like 4 fucking days, it brings a whole new meaning to hear you talk. Like, every single one of you that I had never met in person before, which is all of you. Now when you guys are talking, I can totally fucking picture you and see you, and it just makes it that much better.
This is true.
Kevin, you're the only person that actually looked exactly like I thought you would. I saw Kevin, I was like, yep, that's exactly right.
Yeah, it's true.
Bresler said that to me too. He's like, you're the only person from Twitter that I thought was going to look and act exactly like I thought you were from Twitter.
So good old Slick Jagger, he was the man. He was prepared. In fact, his buddy was flying in and, tell me that story about how prepared you were. And he was all ready to go. That was amazing.
Yeah. I mean, so I worked Thursday in Philly, got off work. I had a 8 p.m. flight that got me in to Vegas at about midnight East Coast time. And, that was like 9 a.m. Vegas time. And I met up with my buddy Lucas Seau, who's a Canadian who had a brief stint in Philadelphia, which is how I know him. And Lucas doesn't drink much. He was with a bunch of other, Canadian Magic players who don't drink much. And I was like, no, fuck that. We're going to get shit wasted tonight. And, so we went out and We bought a couple of those yard long fruity drink things.
Cause
I figured that was the way to start it off. And,
yeah,
and
get, like, break them in right.
Oh yeah.
Ease them into it.
And, you know, I go up to the counter and she's like, oh, you want these? And I was like, yeah. And she was like, do you want extra shots in them? And I was like, oh yeah, 3 shots apiece. And Lucas was like, what did you just say? And I was like, nothing. Don't worry about it. So other than learning how to play craps that night, we walk down the street and we see a dude on the corner who's holding a sign that says, kick me in the dick for $20.
That's the deal.
Obviously that's just infinite value.
That is.
If you walk into and put your money down on a roulette table, you're putting $20 down to get yourself kicked in the dick. At least this guy's just all, hey man, just take out your frustrations. I need your last $20.
Oh yeah.
Do you think you charge extra for soccer players?
Well, I saw that guy. Like, that was a total scam. Like apparently he wants you to give him the $20.
So I'm like, you know, I'm not a small dude. I'm like 6'3". One of Lucas's buddies was like 6'7" and like a martial arts guy who was a poker player who came with him. And I was like, listen, man, I'll front you this $20 if you like really rail the shit out of this guy. And he did.
And he did.
Unfortunate choice of wording, but yes.
He lifted this kid off the ground. And, you know, we watched another guy kick him in the dick ahead of time. And he was like, oh, ow, not really feeling it. You know, cause he was wearing like pants and basketball shorts. And, you know, he had a little bit of padding going on. But Lucas's friend fucking railed him, man. I mean, he started crying. He hit the ground. Fell right over. And his friend just literally ran up an escalator. Like, he was afraid that he was going to get arrested or something. Meanwhile, like, this motherfucker has a sign saying, kick me in the dick. Like,
I could just see the cops.
That's the way to roll into Vegas.
Yeah, like, could you just see the cops walk up to this scene? You know, like, sir, what happened here? There's a sign. He asked me to kick him in the dick. I gave him his $20. Like, I paid for the service, and I executed the service.
Cops are all talking between him, like partners are all talking between him, and they're like looking through their wallets, and they come up with $20. It's just a kick him in the nuts and throw the bunch of ones on him and walk away. Yeah.
Seriously, Vegas cops would have tased him for 40.
Oh my god. So that's okay, Kel, keep going, man. Tell me more.
No. I mean, as far as the first night, that was the highlight, just getting shit wasted with a bunch of people that don't really drink and kicking a dude in the dick.
Oh, I can't imagine that it gets better than that. Now, I know we all tried to start – this is how, like, it's one of those movies, you know, where there's, like, six separate timelines and then everything starts to converge and you tell this complicated, like, spider web of stories. So me, Ryan Durr –
should have had Tarantino just fucking, open up this episode.
What about Norbert?
Yeah, Norbs, sorry. What happened to you, man? How'd you get here?
Yeah, I just flew in here to Detroit. Detroit to Vegas.
Like, I just flew in. That was it.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. As soon as there was that silence, at the first, all I knew was Norbs going to be like, I just flew in.
he's got a jetpack. How else is he going to get in there?
Oh, shit.
That's what he should have said. I just flew in. That's it. Nothing.
It's hard to get Norbs to talk. It's just like, I just flew in like a normal person.
I had a normal time. I don't know what's wrong with you guys.
Anyway, sorry. I'm sorry, Norbert. Anyway,
right, go ahead, Norbs. Tell us.
Yeah, that's it. It was...
he's like, no, that you hit it right then, guys. Oh man. So the next morning, I guess things started to get a little crazy. So I was told by Heather to go to Hash House for the best breakfasts in Vegas. So that was like my plan, and I was trying to get a hold of everybody and say, hey, everybody, meet up at Hash House. And I told KYT, he kind of knew. I told T-Moles when I had Slick Jagger, I told him, like, everyone, what, about 9 o'clock or something like that, we're all going to try and meet there and then head to the GP. So me and Durf and Rye get there, and it's all under construction. And the entrance is not there anymore, and there's this little elevator with a sign, like a small little white sign that says Hash House in this elevator. And it's retarded, like, it was so impossible to find. You go up in this rickety little elevator, and then you're in the restaurant. And so we finally get in there, and we look around, and nobody's there. So we're like, well, we're starving. So we start eating. And we had – the internet access was horrible. Like, it was going all over the place. And Jagger's tweeting me, like, how do I get there? And I'm like, well, I'm pretty sure it's at Planet Hollywood. And it wasn't. It was at the Quad, which was, like, another 3 blocks up. And so I'm like, aren't you staying at Planet Hollywood? I'm like, it's just around the corner. So – the funniest thing is, I'm like, where the fuck is Jagger? What is he doing? We're eating our thing. He walks in sweating like a dog. Like, he just looked like he ran, like, a marathon. And he's like, you motherfuckers, I've been walking for an hour up and down the strip trying to find this fucking place. Oh, my God, dude.
I was sweating like a fat girl in a corduroy jumpsuit, man. It was bad. It was so bad.
But you made it.
Story.
Yeah.
First story is Time Elemental Jason. He came from the airport. He texted me, and I was in the middle of, you know, getting everything settled and doing, and I sent him a text. It turns out I sent him Heather's address, so he drove out. $100 cab ride away.
Oh, my God.
It was a pure mistake, because it was copy and paste. I just grabbed the address. Right, sorry, dude. You know, I'm going to have to split that with you or something. Man. And she was freaking out, because she was like, who is this guy showing up in my...
Oh man, so we finally, I believe it, Friday morning we were, I was getting tweets from, I can't remember your name. Damn it. I had an inside connection in GP Vegas. He was waiting in line. And, I started to get, like, at 8 o'clock in the morning, people were lining up, I heard. Actually, they were lining up at like 7:30. And, every like 25 minutes, they're like, yeah, it's another like 200 people long. And by the time we got to Hash House and the breakfast, cause our plan was to go straight there. People are saying, yeah, forget it. There's like a 2,000 person line. It's going to be like a 3-hour wait to get in. And we're like, what the fuck? And then there's all this ridiculous confusion over, do VIPs get to walk in? Do they not get to walk in? What's the deal? Apparently everyone was very excited to get the GP playmat, which I believe all of us did.
Norbert, tell them your story. You probably have the worst beats of all.
All right, Norris, tell me how.
Yeah, somebody checked Twitter that morning. It was like 7:30, the picture of the line. So we got a cab, CMDR Dex and I. We got there like 8:15. The line's already around the building, around the outside, like a block away. And we had like a 4-hour wait. We didn't get play mats. It took like two hours to get in the building.
Oh, that then you know what? When I rolled up in the fucking cab, you must have been like, I hate you bitches, because I just literally, we just walk right in. Slick Jagger, and Riot Durf, and we're just like, VIP? And the guy at the door is like, yeah, are you VIP? We didn't flash anything. We're like, yeah, we're VIP. And he looks at Durf, I'm like, he's with me. Leave him alone. We just walk in. I'm like, leave him alone. We took him out of his cage. He's on his exercise. I got him on a leash. Don't worry. But I'm like, isn't that hilarious that any of you guys with balls could have just walked up? Yeah, I'm VIP. I just want to get in. You guys could have been in the door.
We get inside, but it's not the same as being inside the line. The line was for the mini masters, but they were telling people you had to be in line to check in so that you could play the next day. That's why people were in line. Otherwise, a lot of people would have left. And then it was actually that you didn't have to do that. So once people figured that out, then everyone left.
Yeah, I remember us running into that. We were like, oh, wait, what the fuck is this? It was like this line was just snaking all the way fucking through the building and out the door and shit like that. And then all of a sudden it was just like, no, that's the Mini Masters line. This over here is the line to register. We're like, well, what the fuck?
Now the funniest.
Oh, and then there's that.
the funny thing was, the final meeting between me and Kevy, because a lot of people were like, how the hell was that to happen? Well, me, Jagger, I believe Durf and I were all in line to, get the mat and register. And that's the VIP line. It was still fucking long. It's about an hour and 15 minutes we waited in it. And we're literally like 10 people from the judge. And, Ginger Italian and, T-Moles were like, man, Kevy's here. Kevy's here. And I'm like, what? He's here? The motherfucker's actually here? I'm like, get him over here. We have if he jumps the line, we could get him in, right? And they're looking for him, and I'm like, well, if he doesn't make it, he doesn't make it. And I see this fucking guy walking up, and people are just, like, stepping out of the way for this guy. They're already, like, just like, okay. Like, when Ginger Italian walks down the aisle, people hit him and bump him. The Kevy walks down the aisle, people, like, just put their hands up and step back. Like, little fucking parting of the Red Sea, like, I don't want to touch this guy. He looks like he'd kill us. And so there's a judge, like, making sure no one buds in line. Kevy is – let's just say this. He is not a master of subtlety. And he just starts screaming, Maddie! Like, he's screaming. And he jumps the velvet rope. He tackles me. He's freaking tackling me and hugging me. And the judge is like, holy crap, did this guy just start a fight? Like, what's going on? And I'm like, relax, relax, relax. He just hasn't seen me before, right? So he jumps and Kev's like, hey man, you can't butt in line. And Kev's like, okay, cool, whatever. Like, you know, I'm just loud.
Yeah, I told him. I was like, nah, man, I have never met this guy before. Like, we just met for the first time. Chill the fuck out. I'm just talking to my friend. He's just like, all right. It kind of gives me the, okay, but I'm watching you.
and the judge, it was the Cheech and Chong judge, if you know who
you are. Yeah, dude, looks just like fucking Tommy Chong.
Yeah. It was a Tommy Chong judge. And he basically was like giving us a dirty eye. Kev's like, just fuck up. Back up off me, bitch. Like, I'm out of here, right? And so we start talking to
you. How would that have been? I get in a fight with a judge for cutting in line before the turn even starts.
Well, the best part is, okay, I calm him down a little bit, and it gets a little bit quieter, but we're still both extremely loud, right? And I guess the judge is like, okay, fine, you know, whatever, he's going to leave the line. And we don't, because we just keep talking. And we're about one person away. And I'm like, I look at Kevin, I'm like, if you just shut up, like, if you just don't talk and just be quiet and you just pick up a pen, you're going to probably get in. Like, you cut the line, right? Of course, he can't do that. So literally, I get in, I sign, and they're like giving him his paper to sign.
Well, she had my fucking DCI card and my ID in her hand and was like, had found my name already.
And Chong.
And dude comes walking, the fucking Tommy Chong comes walking up and he's just all, wait, no, no, no. Are you signing him in? No, he cut. He's got to go to the end of the line. And she looks at him and looks at me and she's like,
he's right here.
Okay. And it's like, starts handing me my stuff back. She's like, I guess we'll see you later. I'm like, nah, you probably won't.
Oh my God.
And then Kevy comes up later. I'm in front of the line and he's like, yeah, yeah. He's telling me, yeah, I was in front of the line and I was talking with Maddie and then I got kicked out and he was like,
Marcel, shut the fuck up. Just go right in front of me.
He's like, oh. He's like, ding. I had an epiphany.
I can't keep my mouth shut, even if it's in my own best interest.
No, remind everybody, this is the VIP line, so everybody that got a playmat, this is not when someone that with the regular line where Kevy's cutting and he's taking a playmat from somebody else.
No, absolutely. No. Well, he paid VIP, so he was good for it. But we while we were there, we saw Rich Hagon, and Rich,
the background picture on my fucking Twitter now.
Yeah, so Rich Hagon is there, and Kevy just like Rich, he starts screaming at him, and you can see Hagon's head looks up like, what the fuck is going on? Like, who's screaming my name? And he's a publicity whore. Yeah, and he's a publicity whore. So and we're like, get over here, motherfucker! And he just runs over and turns on the fucking Twitter page, like, ding, the teeth are out, like, yeah.
Big old smile, big old picture.
Yeah, we tackled him and he took our pics. So that was fucking cool of him. That was awesome. And and then we basically, you know, got settled in, played Mini Masters. Freaking had some.
Mini Masters. I just got my pack.
So Jason, what happened when you got arrived there on site Friday?
We were waiting in that big bitch line outside, and we were just going to sell. That's the whole reason we were there. Like, we'd pretty much written off getting a playmat and whatever. So we were holding this huge 5K of stuff to sell, and we were waiting in this line trying to find out if we actually had to wait in the line just to get out inside, if we weren't going to do the Mini Masters or any of that garbage. Because, you know, I basically paid the money for the promo and the, you know, the packs and all that stuff. I wasn't real jazzed about the event. And if I wasn't going to get a mat, I wasn't going to get a mat. So since I was mostly there to sell, we didn't want to wait in this line. And somebody told us, I think it was Art Halve, came outside. He's like, dude, you don't have to wait in this line. You can just go inside if you're just going in to sell. The line is to, like, get the free Mini Masters pack and all that. I'm like, you know what? It's not worth waiting 2-3 hours in line just to play Mini Masters, you know.
Yeah, I think he's the one that told us to go inside, too.
So we got all the way up. Like, we were there with Sula the Godslayer, and he was holding this big-ass heavy 5K, and he just, after we were online for, like, 20 minutes, he just set it down. He was just, like, kicking it with his feet. Like, he walked 1,000 miles through the desert or some shit. He's just like, 5K, I hate you. So he picks this thing up and he walks all the way to the front, and there was some chick like working security. She's like, you can't come in here. And he went ballistic.
Yes.
and he went back to the spot on the line and just stood there holding this 5K, like, hate fucking this 5K with his arms. Like, I hate my life right now. And Ryan and I just went and walked inside. We're like, we're coming inside. And the lady's like, all right. And we just went inside and sold it. And we were there like 20 minutes. I'm like, did anybody tell Sula he doesn't have to wait in that line? Or is he outside with that 5K just hating his life? Poor fucking guy.
Oh my god. So yeah, we got in. Marcel, how did you showed up with Kevy, right? So you were already in. You're good.
Yeah, we were there about 12 o'clock. We decided to wait, you know, we wanted to roll in a little bit because we're all waking up from the drinking the night before.
No.
And you just see it and you're just like, good lord.
Yeah.
Like, too many people. Like, the first thing I was thinking is like, yep. Let's go right back to the house. I'm having way more fun at the house than anything I could be doing.
Yeah,
like that's
so,
the first thing on my mind.
Yeah, the funny thing is, like, that's my first GP, right? So I've been walked in halls and walked out, but never, like, really fucked around too much. So to see that amount of men, sweaty men, freaking just there, you're just like, wow. This
was
punctuated
by a couple. I gotta say, there was a couple hot girls at that fucking GP.
You know,
like,
yes,
I did not
there
expect
was.
To see like the caliber and fucking frequency of like decent looking fuckable girls at that fucking GP. I was like, holy crap! Maybe
that
these aren't all just raging nerds.
I go to GPs. That was an anomaly. That was a very good GP.
What you're saying is I should just cancel my plans for Oakland.
Okay. Well, besides the fact that it's Oakland, yeah.
Yeah. Careful, Ferret. Marcel's gonna break you in half.
Yeah.
What I will say about this GP is, like, I would say the ratio of women there to play Magic, and as opposed to being like bored girlfriends who don't play, just sitting there reading their Kindle passive aggressively or whatever, like, it looked like almost every female I saw in that hall was there to play. And I hope that's a trend that, you know, is gonna pick up.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Good job, Wizards, whatever you did to keep this trend going.
Jackie Lee.
Chandra's the face of M14. They just started a fucking trend. They're like, let's just use the chick.
So basically, let's give everybody a quick recap of like what we cracked on Mini Masters. So, basically, it was a bit of a pain in the ass. It got started a little slower than I would wanted it to. It was a little disorganized day one, I found, to find where you're sitting and all that. But when we got our packs, I think I cracked a doubling season and a bunch of garbage. And I ended up building like a really crappy, like, populate deck. Or not populate, but like, you know, basically playing off doubling seasoning and like doubling counters and tokens and all that shit.
And so you were having fun with Thalids.
Exactly. Thalids and that white guy that disappears, and just like, it actually was funny because in a single pack, I was like, this is a lot of synergy. And it kind of made me wonder if they had the packs like preset to have synergy, because that was just ridiculous. You know, out of one.
Everything I've opened, like, they didn't.
It was a fluke.
Yeah.
So I ended up playing, I think I went 2-1. That was pretty good for Mini Masters. It was alright. I mean,
that's cool.
Yeah, I played a guy who had like insane stuff. Like, the guy that beat me, had what the fuck was it? Foil sword. And you can't beat a foil sword in Mini Masters. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's
You can't beat a foil sword, period, unless you...
No, yeah. So what did you guys end up cracking on Mini Masters?
I got a foil Lotus Bloom, and I was like, all right, cool. I'm cooking drunk.
So you didn't even play that. You didn't play a single game, did you?
No, I did it. It was, at the time value, it was not worth it. Like, I got cracked a Gregor Gorgodon, and I was like, yeah, let's go barbecue.
To be honest with you, the games of fucking Magic that I played over the course of the entire GP weekend were like two matches at ass o'clock in the morning against fucking Ginger Italian Mike Marcella, and then the one round of Chaos Draft that we actually accomplished on Sunday. The only Magic I played the whole fucking weekend.
See, the Mini Masters though, like it took an hour just to get the pack. I was like, I got this ticket, I'm gonna get this pack, I'm gonna sit here, and it took an hour to get the pack. And then the pairings, they were already five tables down on the pairings. I'm like, this is gonna be like 3 hours just so I could grind out a couple packs. I'm like, nah.
Yeah.
You know, this wasn't worth it.
Let's go barbecue, let's get drunk.
Yeah, and
I lost my slip, and my biggest blowout was registering VIP and losing my free slip for Modern Masters.
No!
I lost my pin after Maddie specifically told me like four fucking times, don't lose this pin, this is your VIP pin. I like wore it home, and then I was just all, oh yeah, I need to fucking bring this tomorrow. And then like I stuck it in a different pair of pants, and I still haven't found it yet.
Did you put it on your bandana or something?
No, I put it on my bandana, but then I specifically remember, which, I mean, could be, like, not an actual specific memory. It could have just been a drunken dream at some point. Saying, like, no, I got to put this in my pocket so I don't fucking lose it. But I think I ended up wearing different pants or something like that. But I should probably check that headband, because knowing me, it's probably still on the fucking headband.
You know what's hilarious? If nobody If nobody had said anything to you, you would have just, like, brought it with you.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure I would have. I absolutely was supposed to bring this with me, and it didn't work.
So what do you think about the value of the VIP? Like, this was actually pretty amazing. Like, if you didn't do the VIP, I feel bad for everyone that didn't.
Yeah,
it was definitely VIP was the play. Like, I went in with the intention of, like, you know, I'm probably not going to play the event. I'm probably just going to get the packs and the promo and the mat and all that, but didn't get a mat, didn't get the Mini Masters. Because I didn't register VIP. So it actually turns out with those mats selling on site for $60, if you were just going to sell that, that paid for the VIP.
They were selling for fucking 100. 90 to 100.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, but like the dealers were buying them.
Yeah, the dealers were buying them for 60, which is what you paid for VIP. And then like people, like flat out people that were realizing like, I'm not going to get a mat, we're fucking buying them for $100. Boom.
Wasn't there like a special draft just for VIPs on Sunday or something?
Yeah, we grabbed it.
Yeah, they gave us packs. After playing Modern Masters and after talking about Modern Masters forever, they're like, oh, we get that fucking free draft, huh? So we all walked up and they gave us three fucking packs of fucking Dragon's Maze, but like RTR block, like one pack of each. And we just tore them all open. We're like, oh, these are stupid. Just threw them on the table.
It's so, yeah, like, like,
when Maddie was flicking him across the room. You got an arm on you, Maddie. You're dangerous.
You can't. Okay, well, you're breaking my timeline, but I guess we'll tell. So we're basically.
Well, just to preface this, this is one thing I learned about Maddie. Yeah. Like, Maddie, we sit here and we talk week after week. And when I met the guy, I did not expect him to have the set of fucking nuts on him and the fucking attitude on him that I got to see in Vegas. I expected Maddie to, you know, hang out with me, get drunk, talk some shit, have some fun. This dude was leading the charge half the time. He's just like, fuck this! Fuck that! Let's just fucking throw these cards in the air for a fucking picture. Or let's just fucking do that.
Yeah, like, he told me, Marcel, go flip the table drunk. Right there. Marcel, flip the table. You ain't gonna do it.
For those of you who didn't know, have never met Maddie Studios.
Oh fuck.
The one story about early on in the tournament that really, really, is a summary is Maddie goes up to the actual Magic the Gathering booth and he buys 9 guild t-shirts. He buys 9 guild t-shirts and the little lady at the counter says, okay. Oh, you know what? You can have this Selesnya one for free because, you know, that's the only one you didn't buy.
Yeah.
And Maddie's like, no, fuck Selesnya. and somebody, and there's a guy in the line behind him.
Wait. You have to preface this. The guy behind me was, he was like 19 years old. Fresh greenhorn, probably his first. He just got dragged to an event and he's just salivating at these shirts. Like, he's like, oh my god, like, and he's just looking at me like, hey, if you don't want it, like, he's giving me the eye, right? And he goes, he's like, hey, if you don't want the shirt, alright, finish it off, Jagger.
No, so the guy goes up to Maddie and he's like, oh dude, yeah, if you don't want the shirt, you know, I'll take the Selesnya shirt, and the lady's like, oh yeah, I'm totally cool with that. And Maddie's like, no, don't fucking give it to him. He's like, all right, wait, are you serious? And Maddie's like, yeah, fuck Selesnya.
Well, the best part of that was the look on his face when I flat out, like, stone cold said, no, I don't want you to have, And then I pull the thing where I don't look at him, and I just look at the lady. I'm like, I don't want him to have it. But he can hear me, right? He's like, and he's like, why? Like, what's going on? I'm like, now, fuck Selesnya. I don't think anyone should have the shirt. In fact, you know what? Put that shirt that's free back in the bag and put it in the back. And just the look of the guy's face. Like,
I want you to stand right here in front of me and burn it.
All the listeners out there, you know, Kevin might come off as the badass motherfucker of the show, but
Maddie's a hard motherfucker. He's
got some brass balls.
Yes, he does.
I may. I grew up around some hard people, man. What can I say? It comes out once in a while, man.
Go make some fucking donuts.
Yeah, go make some fucking bagels, will ya? But, so basically on day one, I guess, what happened, like, cause me and, it's kind of a haze. What the fuck did we do? I think me and Jagger, oh yeah, that's right. Me and Durf ended up hooking up with Slick Jagger and his buddy, oh fuck, later in the evening, and that was a fucking drinking fest out of nowhere.
Just straight up foursome, you guys hooked up and just.
Oh no,
that's actually a whole nother story.
So here's
that you have to listen to the end of the cast for.
This is a quick one, but it's hilarious. So I went back to the hotel. Me and Durf went back to the hotel because I bought like all these art prints and I wanted to make sure they didn't get wrecked. So we put all our shit away and Rye had to go meet some family. So me and Durf were just fucking around and I switched out to my Azoria shirt because I'm like, I was sweating. I'm like, fuck, I gotta wear something nice. So we just were walking around.
I was sweating. I gotta wear something nice. So you put on the Azoria.
Yeah,
shield.
Fucking right, man. I gotta put some law and order in this town.
Now I look respectable. Law and order and shit.
Fucking right. Now I look like a proper nerd. Right? Like the best was we're just walking around the Aria thing, and I'm like, well, what do you want to eat there? She's like, I don't know. Fuck, whatever. And we walked into this bar, and we're just like walking around, and I hear this guy like, hey, is that Maddie Studios? I'm like, what the fuck? Who is that? And it's Slick Jagger fucking already down a freaking pitcher of beer. he's already saucy, right? And I'm like, how the fuck did you see me? And it was his buddy who spotted me because he thought it was a Magic player. And he's like, you know, if you weren't wearing Azorius, I would have ignored you. So that was just hilarious. And then we ended up like drinking and just being loud as shit, and people were giving us looks. It was fucking awesome. But
I got a lot of that this weekend, just drinking and being loud as shit and people giving me weird looks. Fucking, I got plenty of that.
It only takes Durfington like 3 sips of a beer to be blackout drunk. So,
I love that guy.
Yeah, so the poor thing is, okay, so like Jagger's pretty tall. I'm pretty big. So is his buddy. Like this is like, you know, you could drop like 6 pitchers and it's not an issue. And Derva's just sitting there the whole time sipping. And you can tell he's like a lightweight at the heavyweight table, right? And we're like, Derv, you okay? He's like, I'm good. And he's just getting sleepier and sleepier. His eyes are going like just glazed over.
Fine.
And wait. So the preface this whole thing on the first night, Durfington told me, he's like, look, here's the deal, Matt. I'm not a big drinker, and I have a trigger. And I'm like, okay, I'll watch for it. He's like, what's your trigger? He's like, okay, I get really sleepy, and then I get really excited. And that's the warning point. I'm like, why? He goes, because as soon as I get really excited, I throw up. And so the whole time we were like with Durf, when he would start talking, we're like, hey, are you getting excited? He's like,
calm down. Don't get excited.
Calm down. Don't get excited right now. Go back to sleep. Like, so that was the funny part. Always keeping an eye on him, making sure he didn't get too excited. So that was a jig. But I heard we missed the best part. Like Friday night was the craziest night at the house.
Yeah. Someone got excited while playing Booze Cube. You know?
Oh no. What happened?
I think Jason could tell you about this one, how he got himself primed and ready. This one guy, he wasn't ready for Booze Cube, but he thought
he wasn't ready to be in a pod with Booze Cube. So we broke into like 3-man pods for this, like the first time a lot of us had played it. And I don't even remember this kid's name. It was just some rando somebody brought. And it was me, Booze Cube himself, and this random kid, in the pod. So Booze Cube, like on turn 4, he's like, all right, I'm going to play Spring Break. And Spring Break is a card that says, for 1 man of any color, drink 2. And he goes through and adds up his hand. He's like, I got 23 power worth of creatures. I'm going to drink 46 and dump my hand. And this kid's just looking at him like, all right. So Booze Cube, you know, he's a big guy and he's a heavy drinker. So he goes to Drinky Town. He pours himself like a giant Jack and Coke. And he drinks like a huge tall glass. I'm just counting. I'm like 1, 2, 3, you know, cause that's a sip. And I get to like 28 and he puts the thing down. He's like, that's 12. And I was like, oh, it's gonna be that guy.
Yep.
1 Mississippi as he chugs like 12 ounces. So he just keeps making these until he gets to 46. And I looked at him and his eyes shimmered like that, you know, back and forth thing the eye wiggle does when the cops are looking for when they pull your ass over. Yeah, he's going like, but he can handle it apparently because, you know, he's done this before.
Oh,
so
yeah.
The kid across from him, he's like, oh, really? That's how this game's played? And he looked like he'd maybe had his first beer ever before that night. So he's like, all right. I'm going to play 28 drinks later, which is a card that has suspend 28, but you can drink 2 to take a counter off of it. So he's like, I'm going to drink 56 and take all 28 counters off and play it now.
What happens when it resolves?
What happens to resolve is like a living death. So he like got, I was playing Reanimator, so naturally I, you know, dredged 5 huge dudes into my yard and he's like, oh, get all your dudes. So he drank 56 and then he proceeded to like the rest of the game. He was doing shots for like no value. He had that like that disco elemental or whatever. Like you can do a shot to gain 5 life. So he was like, I'll do a shot, gain 5 life. He's like, I'll pay that 5 life to make you drink 10. And I'm like, all right. And I take like 10 little sips out of my drink and like, yeah. I'm like, dude, you should probably pace yourself because I have you dead on board. And he's like, but I can gain 5 life. And he starts doing shots. He gained 5 life and I'm just swinging at him. I got like a 9-9 with Gift of the Orzova. And I'm like, all right, I got a double Bane Slayer. You should probably scoop. He's like, fuck you. That's another shot. Stabilize at 4. And I'm like, he's like, I think I should stop. And I'm like, you're probably not feeling the drink you just took. You're probably feeling the 4 shots you took before. And he goes, yeah, well, and then like the next thing that comes out of his mouth is not words, it's vomit.
On the Booze Cube.
All of the cards.
Oh yes.
Oh. I'm in the kitchen, and then you know, Kevin goes, Marcel, this guy threw up on the bar on the Booze Cube. I'm like, I don't want to see that shit.
Oh Who cleaned it up, though?
Thinking about his security deposit.
I don't know.
Gone.
You don't even know. Oh, that's
I have no clue who cleaned that up. And I commend you, whoever did.
It was his buddy. Like, I was, like, he got some of my cards because he had, you know, like, all the shit from my yard on his board. So I cleaned up the cards he got from my deck thinking I'd have to play another match. Yeah, I'm pretty sure when you do the technicolor yawn.
He just wipes them off on his shirt and sets them back on the board. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that counts as a concession, right? So
yeah.
Like, I'm like, all right, I guess I win. So I wiped off some of the cards that, you know, just paper toweled him off. Luckily, you know, he got pretty decent sleeves and, like, the kid managed not to puke, like, down the top of the sleeve or anything, but yeah, he kind of got himself cleaned up and,
his
friend cleaned up the table.
It's me to fucking start, like, up and down, like, double sleeving my fucking booze cube. Like, I just need, like, some perfect fits to put on upside down and then re-sleeve it.
You should just get them laminated.
Just get the whole booze cube hardcore laminated. That would be amazing. Well,
now I'm convinced that I have to have my whole entire booze cube done in the fucking, like, San Diego Comic-Con Garrick fucking...
Oh, look. Blackout look?
I'm gonna black out my whole booze cube. It's gonna be fucking expensive.
That would be amazing.
Proxy guy's gonna fucking pay his mortgage on fucking my
booze. Oh, hey, speaking of Proxy guy, he just gave us a tweet saying that anybody that he owes booze cubes cards to that he hasn't spoken to, get a hold of him ASAP.
Nice.
Oh shit, I'm gonna make him do my whole fucking cube in black fucking super art. I'm like, dude. Shouldn't have tweeted that.
Now, after this guy puked, did Helen show up before or after this guy puked?
Later. She showed up afterwards. That was, you know, everything got cleaned up, everything was normalized, and people weren't, you know, stupid.
Now, it was actually normal.
Did she have to be on, like, I had no idea who she was. I mean, I know who Helen Bergeau is, but I had no idea, like, who.
Okay,
she...
well, first of all, like, explain to me this, because when I heard this, I'm like, well, okay.
Well, it's Revised Angels. It's Heather. Heather. She's like, okay. You know, we're over here at the house with the barbecue of Marcel, and she brought her, Helen came over, Natasha also came over, she worked right for Gathering Magic, cool person, and a couple other people, her friends.
Oh, really?
And so that worked out, and then Helen came by, and she was enjoyed herself. She stayed the whole time, and left the, you know, later at the night, you know, talking. It was pretty cool.
Now, I heard there was an incident, Kevy.
Kevy, I think he maybe had a little bit drunk from the booze cube earlier, so he was, he wanted to get Darth Vader on him. Oh, the whole house. It was no one in particular. Helen just happened to see him. And not as tidy whitey, but
Vader'd
as tidy.
Indiscriminately.
Exactly. Everybody had to get Vader'd at that point. And then it wasn't until, like, later when it got, like, hey, I mean, I knew that Helen was there, and I knew that I was in my fucking Star Wars underwear, but didn't really register until, like, a little while later. Oh shit, maybe, was that the best idea? Yeah, it probably was. Alright.
Cool. I gotta say, I love how your mind works, you know, like, you're like, hey, I'm in my underwear, I know there's people from Wizards here. Ah, fuck it. Yeah. I think this is the correct decision.
I specifically remember at some point, like,
I'm pretty sure this is the correct play.
No, there was a point where, like, I remember realizing, I don't know if this was while I was in my fucking underwear or if I was in my clothes at this point, but, like, everybody's sitting around and it's like, oh, Helen Bergeau's here. And, like, there's just this fucking circle of people, all of them sitting with their legs in the pool, like this kind of quiet conversation where everybody is like, it started to kind of devolve into this, like, everybody is bringing up, like, Wizards question, you know, the shit that we'll bitch about on the cast and stuff like that. It's like, well, how come you're doing this and how come you're doing that? And, like, at some point it just dawned on me. It's like, do you really think she came to this fucking house to listen to people go, hey, so what are you guys thinking about doing with the next? And I was just all, I'm gonna take my pants off and jump in the pool. fucking... Yeah.
I
felt in the underwear yet then or not, but I decided to jump in the pool. And then at some point I was just running around in my fucking Star Wars underwear and apparently Helen was there.
Well,
there's gotta be a happy medium between, like, boring the director of organized play with talk about the next format and showing her your balls. There's gotta be something in between there.
I think are correct, Jason.
That is for somebody else to figure out.
It's beyond your capacity.
Yeah, I don't know where the line is. I'm not
a
scientist.
You know, we can look at it this way. Kevy was saying he was gonna show his shit to somebody at the GP and he sure as hell did.
He did.
Yeah.
He's a man of his word.
Mission accomplished.
In my defense, not only did she, like, when that got tweeted the next morning, did she answer it. And said, yeah, that seems familiar.
By the way, like, for people that don't know, like, cause I know as a player, you know, you look at the Wizards people as these, like, you know, cold, heartless, you know, corporate people that are behind their glass tower and they never interact with you. The fact that she came down,
she's awesome.
and witnessed that and then came back the next night. Like,
that was the crazy part.
Something about it on Twitter, and then, like, I was catching hell the whole, like, next day, like, fucking Saturday. It was just like, well, you went and scared Helen away, like, you know, right on. I was like, well, you know what? If that's the way it's gotta be, sorry. You know, life's a bitch, you know, I was in my underwears and whatever. But then she came back the next night.
I mean, that's cool, right? Like, I don't know what to say. Like, when we got there and I was like, holy shit, she came back.
That's how you know she's awesome and she doesn't give a shit. Like, that's the vibe that I got from her. She's like, you know, she's got a job to do. She does her shit at work, but just like the rest of us, you know, Maddie, I know you work at home on your computer, if any level of professionalism, of course you don't act like fucking complete jackass at work, but then when you get off work, you unwind a little bit, you have some fun. It was really cool to see her show up like, hey, I've got a serious job to do, and she does her job very well, and then yet, you know, she can come cut loose and have a good time with us. Like, hey, I'm gonna go to the podcast house and get fucked up with these guys.
She didn't get fucked up, she was responsible, but I mean,
had like one beer,
sure she was.
One beer, yeah. Two beers the first night.
But I mean, it was just cool. It was really cool. Like, I even told her, I'm like, you know, I think this is like it's a game changer, you know, and I was like, this is awesome. I think, this is like really, it means more to the players than you realize, you know, like really socialize with them. And I know, you know, like Kevin said, if we really do start to be like, man, nerd talk and attack you, yeah, you could get the fuck out of there, or Kevin takes his pants off. Like, there has to be like this like emergency switch, you know, oh my God, we're getting boring, fucking pull the switch and strippers come out or something, or goiths, you know, attack people. So day two, and this is the day that, like, I think really started to get crazy, because this is probably the day we played the most Magic, right? Like,
well, this was Saturday. This was the day of the main event.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah, Friday was, sorry. Day one, yeah. Sorry, man. Getting ahead of myself here. Day one. Right. So we're all sitting there, and, I'll sit at the table like, pat, like, fucking rammed. Like, I looked around and I'm sitting like in a sea of fucking sweaty dudes. And I'm like, from the far as I can see from one to the other, it's just rammed with people. Like, there was 45 or 5,000 people. It was insane, right? And I'm sitting, to tell you how crazy the people are, I'm sitting across from this guy in a full suit. And I expect to see some guys, you know, going to work, right? Gonna pull the business thing. This guy's in a white suit with a mustache that is waxed and curled at the ends, okay? And he's got a white on a white hat. He looks like out of like a 20s gangster movie, right? And I'm, like, looking at him, and I'm like, this is cool, man. Like, I love your getup. This is neat. Now, this is insane. The man, he goes, Matty, you're going to help me right now. Let's go. And he gets up out of his chair. And I'm like, we're about to, you know, sort our sealed product. What are we doing? Like, what are we doing? He walks out to the middle of the aisle and starts doing push-ups. And he's like, what? He's like, count, motherfucker. So I count 50 push-ups. The guy then rolls up his sleeve and he's like cutting himself on his arm where he's writing the amount of push-ups.
What?
Cause he's gonna break, yeah, he's gonna break the record for the most push-ups done during a GP. Now,
what?
I swear to God, like he was a cool fucking guy. Like, no doubt, he was cool, but he was like, I'm like, wow, dude, that's insane what you're doing. He stopped me.
Crazy.
He stopped me because when in VIP, we kept playing with the same people that were at our table, right? And I, three times I ran into the guy and I'm like, ah, please don't ask me. Maddie, let's go! And he just jumps down and starts doing push-ups again. And I'm like, I'm like, one, two,
this is awkward.
Like, and then like people are like thinking I'm his buddy or like his, I don't know what they're thinking, like I'm his coach.
His push-up counter?
Oh my God. But yeah, so my sealed pool, we get our pool and I'm sorting through it. It was pretty cool. I had a foil, Kijiki and a bunch of other stuff. It looked like a really neat, like, white red deck. And then, unfortunately, once you log your pool, you gotta pass your pool.
Hey, Kevy, have you ever done that before? Cause Kevy was looking miserable.
I had never done, I've played sealed tournaments before, I thought. Like, at least enough to, you know, I've played pre-releases. So I was like, I know how this works. You know, basically at my store, they're all, here's your six packs, go sit down. Yeah, you guys can start building your decks, go ahead. And so I sit down at my table, I find my table, and I'm on 2 hours of fucking sleep, and I am feeling like the living dead. Yeah, and I'm just
you look like a wreck, dude.
I don't, like, I'm gonna be completely honest, I don't think I felt that shitty in a long time, dude. I mean, obviously, like, I had to take a $50 cab ride home. And missed the picture to be on the mothership because if I stood up any longer, I was gonna fucking fall over. But
that was after Ginger and I like offered to carry Kevy to the picture.
Yeah, literally.
Did you really?
we did.
Carry me to the picture, and I was like, I am not going to make it. I had tried to force. I couldn't eat anything. Because I was just shitty fucking sick hungover, and I'm like trying to just, all I can do is just fucking force rock stars down my throat to try to like
now,
put my brain on autopilot.
Hold on. You didn't tell them when you came to talk to me with your rock star. So.
Well, no, yeah, I jumped ahead. Okay, we gotta go back to fucking deck registration, cause I had never done
that. Yeah. Like, so, he was gonna quit. He was gonna quit before he registered.
I opened my packs. And I start looking at it, I was like, this is garbage. Like, I had, like, a fucking Blink Moth Nexus and a fucking, Figure of Destiny were, like, the best cards in my pool. And it was just a pile of garbage. And I was like, fuck this. Like, I want to drop anyway. I'm out of here. And so then David, Raging Gumby on Twitter, you guys all fucking hung out with him this weekend. But he's new to Twitter, so you don't know him from Twitter. He comes up and he's just all, hey, I got some decent shit, so I just dropped. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to drop too. And I, like, it showed up in the fucking pool. He's like, you might want to wait, dude. He's like, that's garbage. He's all, if you're going to drop anyway, you might want to wait until you get the pool passed to you so that, you know, you might get something better. And then all of a sudden, like, it dawned on me what was happening. And I was like, oh, I'm not playing with this pool. I get it. So now we're already like fucking 10 minutes into fucking like registering the pools. And I'm like, shit. So I start writing down, cause literally I started kind of looking through trying to make a deck out of the shit that I opened. And I'm like, what am I going to do with this? And so I start writing down the cards that I was going to play with because I've never registered a pool before. So I'm just all right, this one. And then they're like, okay, you have 5 minutes to finish registering your pool. I'm shit. Fucking start bailing through trying to register this thing as fast as I can. And I'm about halfway done when they're like, okay, now pass it across to the person across from you to verify it. And the kid's like sitting there looking at me like, now there's already been one guy, like I've been hanging out with everybody and there's already been one guy from down the table I've never met before, never seen before, comes up and he's all, dude, Kevy, hey, I love the show. You guys are fucking awesome. I just want to say thanks, and like shakes my hand. I'm just like, and so the kid across from me is looking at me like, I still got my sunglasses on and shit. And I'm like, don't even know how to do what I'm doing right now. And fucking, so I'm like blazing through trying to mark this pool down as fast as I possibly can. And they're like, oh, pass it across so you can verify it. And he's like, I was like, oh, dude, I'm sorry. Hold on. And I'm like trying to finish up. And then when they're like, okay, now that you verified it, pass it back to the other person. And you see him kind of looking around and he starts to pick his hand up. He's like, judge. I was like, I'm done. Just threw the pool and the fucking checklist at him. Like I just finished a test like 10 minutes late. I'm just all here. And he kind of looks at it and he starts to hand, he just hands it back to me. And I was like, yeah, it looks good enough. Like looked at his and I just looked at a pile of cards. I'm all, seems good to me, and just handed it back to him. And so then I'm sitting there and like, what's funny is like the dude to my left opened ridiculous shit, but I had no idea at this point, like, what pool I was going to end up. I didn't know if they were going to tell you to fucking stand up, swing your partner roundy round, do-si-do, and toss your bag across the room, and that's the pool you're playing with. But no, they're just all, pass your bag to the left. That's the pool you're playing with. I was like, ha! Started laughing, rolled up my playmat. Later, fuckers, I'm out of here. Because the dude to my left, we were all going, oh, shit. He opened a pack that was fucking... Vendilion Click was his rare, and a foil sword of light, or a foil sword of fire and ice was his fucking foil. And everybody around was like, oh shit! And then fucking he passes the bag to me. I was just like, oh, well, that sucks. Too bad you have to stay here and grind out points. I'm going to fucking roll up my playmat. I'm the fuck out of here. I'm going to sleep. And rolled out with fucking retarded fucking pool.
Well, now, so he's not telling you when he came over to talk to me.
So that's when I rolled away from the table. I'm not even to the next part yet.
Yeah.
But at this point, I'm fucking still drunk, basically, but I'm trying to recuperate from it. And I've got, like, I posted a picture of him, but somebody on Twitter, like, while I was sitting down for deck registration was just like, I hope you flasked it. And I was like, flask my ass. I got two tall rock stars and a whole bottle of vodka in my bag, and I just snapped a picture of it, sent it to him. Probably not a good idea when you're registered in a fucking event, but whatever. Like, I give a shit. Also later, I fucking catch a picture on Twitter of fucking Marcel Took from, like, three tables away. He's all, oh, look, there's Kevin. Not looking good at deck registration. I'm just fucking sunglasses on, face in my hands, just staring at the cards like, why am I here?
let me set this up. So
I load up a drink, right? And I fucking, I was just all, oh, I'm all right. I'm not playing anymore, but I got some money right on. Fucking sweet. I'm out. I'm gonna go find Maddie, see how he's doing. And I'll let you take it from there.
Yeah. So I'm sitting there and, I got past, the ultimate, like, even KYTs, like, you're an idiot if you don't top eight this thing with the pool you got. But I was just fucking horrible player, man. I built the deck wrong, but it was essentially red blue, got like Kiki Jiki Maloku, freaking Pestermite. Insane.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it was like, if you go look at the, Wizards top eight cards in Modern Masters, I had about five of them. And I still lost at like 0-3, man. Just got killed. But anyways, I'm sitting there and I'm playing my first round, right? And, the guy is like looking at me the whole time, right? And, he's like, I don't want to bother you, but you said your name is Matt? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, are you Maddie Studios? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, wow, no way. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. I'm trying to play. Like, hold on a second. Like, I'll talk to you in a minute, right? Kevy fucking comes waltzing down the aisle like
just barreling down the aisle,
just bumping into people, knocking their decks, just fucking comes and he sits down right beside me, and the guy is like, I could see him like mouthing to his friend, that's Kevy Metal, that's him, that's the fucking crazy one. Okay,
to quickly interrupt, I almost feel bad. You guys all know I'm a terrible fucking Magic player, but I got more like exposure and fucking attention at this event than people that are on the pro tour. It was fucking retarded.
It was like, now the best about what he does is he slams down this rock star and he gets down beside me and he's like, what you got? And we're talking for like 5 minutes. And I'm like on time, like the match is going on, and I want to win it. I want to try and play. And my opponent,
I noticed that by the way too. Like, you're trying to pay attention while talking to me, and you're like, no, it's cool. And I'm like, dude, what did you get?
He's like gonna pick up my deck and thumb through it during the game, right? And I'm like, and the guy's looking at me like, are you gonna play? Are you gonna play? I'm like, I'm playing. Like, don't worry, right? So Kevin's like, okay, I'm out of here, man. Like, this is it. I'm done. He tells me what he got. He's like, I'm dropping. I'm out. And he walks away, right? So I finish the match, you know, and we go to game two, and we're playing, and the judges are walking around. Ba-da-da-da-da.
I looked for that rock star for an hour, too.
Yeah, you fucker. So a judge comes by. It wasn't Chong Judge, but it was another one, really stiff dude. And he's standing by me, and he's watching the match, and he's like looking around, right? And he picks up your rock star, and he sniffs it, and he's like, whose fucking drink is this? And I'm like, it's not mine. And the guy that I'm playing against is like pointing at me. I'm like, it's not mine. It's not my fucking Rockstar. Smell my breath. Like, what the fuck? And he's like, you know, you can't drink. Who would be this stupid to drink? Like, and he fucking takes it. And the guy's like, it better not have been yours. Better not have been any one of you guys. So he was giving a shit the whole time. So I was like, Kevy Metal.
I was seriously looking for that fucking thing for a while. And I ended up just opening the other one and pouring vodka in that one.
So what about you, Norbert? What'd you open up? What was your pool looking like?
Mine was like a red green Thalid deck. I had Doubling Season, two Shell Dwellers, Germinator, Borsor Thalid, Sporloth Ancient, red for Sarkin, Glacial Ray, Tribal Flames. Splash Blue for Kaga. It was pretty strong. I started out 3-1, and then I lost the other two to, like, Swords or Bombs or Top Deck, so 3-3 drop.
Nice.
That sucks. I mean, so it's good that you got that far.
The story that, so what I ended up in the game with, but I opened double Cloud Goat Ranger, triple Otherworldly Journey, double Kadama's Reach, single Search for Tomorrow, double E-Wit, single Kitchen Finks. So this is like my ideal pool, because all I've ever played in Modern Masters is like green, blue, suspend, splash bombs. And I'm passing, I get past a janky artifact pool that I totally build wrong. And then I get a text from my boy Mike, who Maddie knows now. And, he's just like, yo, I dropped. And I was like,
why?
Okay. And then he comes over and he just pulls out Foil Goyf, Foil Gifts Ungiven, and Vendilion Click.
Shit.
Yeah.
And I was like, Jesus Christ. Like, this is one of my boys from Philly who was like, really like struggling to get to Vegas in the first place and made it happen. And he did not hit an ATM the entire time he was in Vegas after shipping his pool.
He ran hotter than, well, he almost, actually no, Marcel and frickin',
Corbin.
Yeah, Corbin ran hotter, but he was for money. Man, this guy was money. The whole time he was a big, he was running money. So
that's what we gotta get into too. We gotta talk about fucking, Marcel, your pool. Well, how'd that go?
That's what I wanna hear.
Yeah, that pool was insane. It got past some good stuff. I had a good, decent pool when, I registered it, and then I got past this and I started looking at it and piecing together. I'm like, oh, I got a Emerald Aetherion. Let's see, 1, 2, 3 of them. Whoa. Okay. I got
3. Holy shit.
A dragon. I got a Taiga, and then I had the red dragon, the Raizu, and then the, Iona, along with the elder, the Glen Archmage, along with, like Moldrifter. The bouncing guy, along with a couple, the capsules, executioner capsules, echoing truth. I mean, it was just a well-rounded deck. I mean, I just saw that. I was like, yep, I'm not going to drop because I just wanted to go barbecue, you know?
Yep. Now, did you at all think I'm going to drop round one? Or you say, fuck it, I'm going to play around? And like, what was your plan? Because I don't know.
I think that was how to drop and go barbecue, but.
Yeah, I was like, the way I went in, I wasn't as messed up as KB. I mean, I drank, but I went to sleep at 2. So I was like, you know, I'm going to play. I came all the way to Vegas. You know, if I open up, you know, insane Foil Goyf or something like that, then I'll just leave and go barbecue. I'm winning that way. Fuck it. But then I look at this thing and I'm like, well, this deck is too good not to play. Like, you know, I'd be an idiot just to drop. So I was like, I'm going to have to get beat. You know, I'm not going to just gonna roll over. Someone's going to beat me, then I'll go barbecue. And then it's like, I can't lose because I could win or I could barbecue. So it's like, yeah, let's do it like that. So I was like, I'm just going to play. And that's basically what happened.
No.
I came up loose.
And you literally did that. Like fucking 9-10 hours later.
And what did you end up going?
We're all sitting around the house like, how the hell are we going to eat if Marcel's not here? Check Twitter. Oh, wait. Marcel's still fucking undefeated. Shit.
Yeah, like I remember, I think you were 5-0 at that point when we left.
And I was 3-1.
That's right. No, you had taken one loss, right? Right. Oh, but you were still on fucking fire.
Yeah, like that's gonna be such a dagger.
That's gonna be such a dagger for everyone who cared and like wanted to do well in the event. Because Corbin was the same way. He was 2-0. He's like, I just want to fucking drop. And I'm like, then drop, Corbin. He's like, nah, I'm just going to play till I lose. And he XO'd day one.
Like, XO'd day one.
He XO'd one day one. Like, doesn't lose a match. It's like, all right, I'm just going to, maybe if I lose once, I'll drop. And
no, I think he X1'd one. I'm sorry.
Now,
was that it?
Now, yeah. Well, Marcel and everybody are doing good. And the rest of the crew wasn't.
Yeah.
The story that unfolded was during between rounds, we would all run up to the coverage booth and we'd like hook up and be like, hi, what's going on? What's going down? And it was, I believe it was you, Jason, that was got approached by Wizards, right?
I think that was Marcel.
It wasn't Marcel? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, really? They hit me up somehow on Twitter. I forgot who sent it to me, but they said, yeah, you should check out the Brainstorm Brewery House.
Yeah, so
the heavy meta SVU, you know, party house that we had going on, and they had a story. They're like, well, yeah, come on by, you know, like the second round. So we went down there, talked to them, and figured out a time and everything.
So who got interviewed by the wizard guy for the article?
It was Blake Rasmussen interviewed me and Corbin.
Okay. So obviously you guys gave them the story like, hey, you know, Brainstorm Brewery, there's some heavy meta guys here, they rented a house, it's awesome, right?
Right.
So yeah, so they're like, okay, come back, and of course we looked for Kevy, but I guess you had bailed. And they literally yeah. gave us like 1 second to set up. Like, oh, everyone stand here, click. And then Marcel's like, no, man, I wasn't even looking. Like, I was looking the other way. Can you please take the picture again? And the guy was actually reluctant to do it, but he finally did. And we are all in cloud nine. We're like, yeah, we're going to get in the mothership. This is going to be fucking awesome, right? And who found it first? It was Norv, right? On Twitter? Someone linked it, and it's like, hey, man, you guys made the mothership, but you're not going to like it. I'm like, what? So somebody shows me their phone, and I'm like, oh, wow, that pic looks cool. Like, this looks awesome, man. All the T-shirts were there, and I'm like, this is really awesome looking. You know, Durf was holding the mat and everything. And then I'm reading it, and it has no mention of Brainstorm Brewery or Heavy Meta, but they said Mevy Meta.
Oh no, it talked about Brainstorm a little bit, like a fire in the article. It talked about Brainstorm, but then apparently Marcel is from the Mevy Meta podcast, but hey kids, this shit's PG-13, so you might want to get your parents' fucking permission before you listen to it. And the first thing they're going to hear is, what's up, you little fuckers? We're listening to Heavy Meta.
And what's hilarious. PG-13
movie gets one fuck, so we're good.
Yeah,
yeah, then, like, if they get past the intro.
But you know, the funny part was, there's no link. They spell the name wrong. Like, I have a feeling someone probably went like this. They're writing the story, right? And he's like, hey, man, before we post this in the mothership, go check out Brainstorm Brewery. He's like, yeah, this is solid, man. These guys look wicked. And he's like, Heavy Meta? Go check out Heavy Meta. And he probably did. And he probably clicked on it. He's like, wow, we cannot link to this. This is bad. And he's like,
yeah, we got to call it Mevy Meta.
Yeah, but no, but I wonder. But I wonder if they're, yeah, but then I wonder if he's like, well, you know, we can't even spell their name with no link because people can Google that. So just put Mevy Meta. You know, like, I found it was kind of bizarre that you wouldn't, how you could get that wrong, but whatever.
It's because Helene said, you know what, go ahead, give them their moment of glory, just spell it wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. Typical Kevy Meta.
I mean, it could be the picture. You guys got
Twitters all day long of, so, Ferret, when did Marcel take over your spot?
Yeah, I mean, that was still cool. I mean, even they did. I mean, that's a bucket list right there. Like, the weekend alone was like bucket list insanity. Like, okay, attended the world's largest GP, check. Got some mention or a picture on the mothership, check. I mean, Marcel, forget almost top eight to fucking GP. I mean, like, what the fuck? Like, that, I mean, we were all running hot. Like, it was just fun. It was epic, man. And then that night, of course, was, we all ended up at the house. Everybody just crashes the fucking house. And
what was great for me too is because I bounced right before the fucking picture, and I was like, all right, dude, I gotta take a cab home or I'm literally going to die. Like, I have not felt this shitty in a long fucking time. I've gotta get home. And so, I'm not gonna bother anybody else, cause like fucking, you know, the carpools that had come from the house, and the house is like literally on the other side of the valley. And so the carpools that had come from the house were like, dude, I'm not gonna bother any of these, like fucking, you know, Marcel's wrecking shop, fucking, and you know, David, my buddy, was like, had dropped from the event and was just fucking shredding the fucking, Winnebox draft. Like, he, like, went through the fucking first two pods undefeated, just fucking blew through them.
Wow.
And he's doing his thing, and I was just like, nah, dude, I'm not gonna bother any of them, but I've got no way to get home, I'm gonna take a cab. I was expecting it to be an expensive cab ride, so I was like, alright, that's probably, you know, 30 bucks maybe. No, it was a $50 go. I was gonna go take a nap and come back to the venue. But when I got to the fucking house and it was a fucking $50 cab ride, I was like, I'm not spending $100 to go home and take a nap. So I'm staying the fuck here until you motherfuckers get back. And so then I took myself a nice long, like fucking 3-4 hour nap. Everything was beautiful. I wake up, start drinking a little bit, and then we'll started filing in.
Yeah.
And then it got to be Saturday night.
Yeah.
And I'm playing the whole time, and I'm worried. I'm thinking about my meat. Like, I need to cook my meat.
Gotta check my meat.
I could see you too, you know, like, can you just kill me? Just kill me. Oh, I could totally win this game. Ah, okay, one more game, I'll beat him.
Yeah, so like game four, I tilted, like, you know, I lost because I made some mistakes. I'm it just you know, a couple of bad mistakes I've made, I could have probably won. So I was like, you know what? I just need to go. But then I was about to walk off. I was about to quit, but I was like, nah.
One more.
I can't do it. Cause I was thinking about the meat. I was thinking about the meat. I was like, oh, I gotta cook some, cause we gotta have the barbecue. The party's about to
do it. That is a true culinary expert right there. Just a fucking, a man that loves his craft is when he's sitting there fucking wrecking shop at the fucking biggest GP ever. He's like, man, I should just fucking drop out so I could go cook this meat for these fine people at my fucking house.
Yeah. And
you had to evaluate though.
It wasn't even an issue.
Yeah.
Marcel's brother just held it down.
Marcel's brother held it down like a fucking champion.
Yeah. Gotta say shout outs to him. Like, unreal. Like, that guy is, I don't know how much more shout outs I can give him. Like, we show up and he's fucking cleaning. He's fucking cooking. Like, he was like running a restaurant, man. Like, I was like, wow.
And he handled business. I was fucking proud of him.
Yeah.
That's why I knew it was cool, because I knew my brother could take care of it. I was like, yeah, he'll be able to handle it. Everything would be all right. And I'll just, as soon as I, you know, crap out, then I'll be right there at the party. Yeah. The party will be good.
Now, what's hilarious is, like, when me and Durf and Rye walk in, we just, like, we'd eaten food, right? And even, like, it's hilarious, because, like, Rye's a foodie, right? Like, he's like, I don't know, man. And when he says he's a foodie, he's like, I don't think I'm going to eat. Maybe I'll just have a beer. And then we walk in, and there are – and I'm not joking, people. When you've been to buffets, and you've seen a pile of – a tray of meat. That's nothing. That's a small tray. There were three or four large – and I mean large – with, like, 50 pounds of fucking pork, chicken, steak, I don't know, loin. And it was so perfect. Like, I watched him start cutting a loin of, like, beef or something, and I'm like,
it
was the tri-tip.
I was cutting the tri-tip, and gave me this little-ass plate, so I made, like, a 10-foot tower of tri-tip, and everyone was just watching me, like, salivating, and I'm just cutting this slow as shit just to slow-roll everybody and make
them all look at you motherfuckers wanting this meat.
You know what the cool part is, though?
Yeah, it's the first time Jason's ever been able to say, look at you wanting my meat. I love you, Jason.
You know what the cool part, though, is? The barbecues were just shitty. Like, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, if you guys were impressed with that, wait till we really could get down. You guys, you know.
I remember, like, them talking about, they're like, oh, Marcel's just going to fucking finally finish up, go buy a new barbecue, fucking cook the rest of this meat.
No, like, I went out and talked to your brother, and I'm like, how are you cooking? Because I walked outside, and I'm like, where the stove isn't on? Like, what the fuck are you cooking? And there are little, these tiny little, broken.
Little half-barrel fucking barbecue.
Not even barrel. Like, you know, like Canadian Tire for you Americans. You won't get it. But it's like Sears. Like, if you go to Sears and you buy, like, $69 piece of shit cast iron barbecue, there's two of them. And he's got it loaded. And it's like a handful of coal. I couldn't believe how he cooked on that. I would have fucked it up and we would all died from, you know, salmonella.
Well, there was some chicken that was undercooked that he had to push to the side. And it, I mean, it's just the, like, you couldn't cook with those. Zach, I should have had a picture of the grills when we signed up for the house. That was the one thing. I just said, yeah, two charcoal grills. So I was like, yeah, we're good.
Yeah,
two of them.
Yeah. But
yeah,
dude,
like, really, two little barbecue master fucking grills in the backyard.
And they had another one. It was a third one. And this one, we used it once. We're like, nope, that's not going to be used for any cooking.
Yeah, that's an ashtray.
Yes.
Pretty much.
But the funny thing is, like, Kevy, like, literally throws a cup in my hand and starts filling it with liquor. Like, I'm like, all right, let's go, you know? And he's like, hey, come here.
Roddy's here.
Yeah, he's like, come here. You got to come to my room. And I'm like, I got to come to your room. He's like, yeah, shut the door. I'm like, what the fuck? Yeah, I'm about to go down. But he's like, hey, look at this box. And I'm like, what's in the box? He's like, fucking liquor. And what?
I was like, I got this for you. I got this for you.
Oh, well, my
I
God.
I didn't get it for you. But yeah. I have this that is for you.
He hands me this bottle of, what is it? Pig? Oh, fuck. I forgot the name.
Fucking Whistle Pig.
Whistle Pig.
Whistle Pig.
No, it's Pig Whistle. It's not Whistle Pig.
Is that the rye whiskey?
That is the rye whiskey.
No,
so
I thought it was Pig Whistle, but it's Whistle Pig.
So
that was that shit.
He's like, we got two bottles. One's open. This one's yours. And so I drank mine, like, basically myself. Like, and it was so fucking amazing. I couldn't believe, I don't drink whiskey at all.
No, Maddie was on that bottle of whiskey all fucking night. It tastes so good too. Oh my God.
I was honestly, pretty crazy. It was nuts, man. It was very good. And then, in all honesty, like, the meat, like, when we started to eat it, I'm like, I cut a piece, I'm like, I took a bite, I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? And I just stabbed a fucking piece and I shove it in Durf's mouth. I'm like, here. And he's like, and Durfee is like, I don't want meat. I don't want it. And then I'm like, I shove it like, and he's like, you could see him like start to taste it. And he's like, that's good meat. And I'm like, yeah, that's right, man. And like,
to be honest, like we treated him like a fucking slave all weekend. Whether it was you shoving meat in his mouth or us being like, Durfee, did you do not stand up until you're done with all those altars? And then we've got some signatures for you to do. Like, we wouldn't let him leave the fucking table. The poor bastard was drawing all weekend.
Oh, I know. I mean, he was a champ, man. He's just
the fucking whole thing with a fucking smile on his face. He's just like fucking yeah, all right, fucking yeah. I'll do it.
Like we literally watched him derf people and like draw. Oh man, like tons of shit. He altered mats. Like he was insane.
Tokens that he gave to me, the Kepi and Maddie tokens, is the greatest shit ever. He drew me up like a little fucking devil or whatever. But then he's just like, "What do you want me to do to Maddie?" I was all, I don't know. Make him American.
Yeah.
And if you've seen the fucking, it says like, it's got Maddie with like a big flag behind him, a machine gun on his fucking shoulder, like a fucking random ass shovel sticking out of his backpack, and it just says America real big down the side. I was like, right on. I was like, we claimed him. I showed that to KYT. I was like, yeah, he's ours now.
Yeah. And I mean, like on top of that, he was altering people's mats, their boxes. I mean,
yeah.
You know, huge shout out to Durf, man. That guy, like, you don't come to a party and go to work.
That motherfucker always has a fucking set of, like, badass, yeah. like, fucking art markers in his pocket.
Yeah.
Like, you walk up to him and he's just, like, when I ran into him and KYT, like, late Sunday night, I was like, oh, KYT, I gotta have you sign these fucking tokens. I was like, oh, shit, I need a marker. Oh, wait, Durf's here, and Durf's just all, bam, and pulls out this awesome fucking pack. What?
Look at the door.
Oh, shit.
The door.
Boss is here.
Oh, no. So, yeah. What did you guys do? You didn't pay the bill? You didn't pay the bill while you were gone?
Guys, you guys, I've gotta go.
What's up, boys?
Mr. Day 2. We're recapping Vegas, man. We're reminiscing, letting everybody know. We're giving them the whole timeline for Vegas. Since you were there, I think
we're talking about all the time we got to spend with you.
Which is zilch.
Yeah, yeah, the raging party you got with the
band of ambiguous answers.
Yeah, so we're KYT missed the house. Unfortunately, he should have come because it was insane that night. In fact,
I want all of you fucking people to get, when this like episode hits, I want his fucking inbox to be flooded with a bunch of hate mail for fucking not hanging out with us.
He decided to sleep. He wanted to get some sleep for day two instead of actually coming to drink.
Yeah, and Marcel freaking parties all night and still wakes up in the morning and fucking takes shit down.
I remember specifically Marcel standing there in the backyard like, I don't give a fuck. I'm going to fucking money draft tomorrow. It's going to be fucking awesome. I don't give a shit. We show up the next day, motherfucker still kills it.
Yeah, he's still taking shit down. No, but the best part about the evening, it kept getting insane, right? So Mox Ruby, Ruben Bressler.
Oh, God.
He just, hey, man, fuck, I'm here too. And we're like, what the fuck? And then someone gets the idea like, hey, we should do a booze cube. And
that
Ruben announces it, yeah. So
I throw a fit.
So here, Marcel was cool. He had a setup, a stream going. Everything was all set up, but Marcel wasn't there. And we spent about an hour trying to find a headset because if we had a headset, I mean.
Let me interject here. Okay, here's right. How this went down. I said something to Ruben because that dude's like one of my new favorite people in the whole fucking world. I love that guy. I love all you guys, but that dude is cool as shit. I love him. And so we're sitting there drinking, we're having a good time, and all of a sudden we're kind of waiting to set up the whole Booze Cube Championship tournament, you know? And I was talking to him about it, and I was like, oh my God, you have to do commentary for it. And he's just all, oh dude, that would be so fucking funny, that'd be awesome. He's like, I can't get fired.
Yes, exactly.
So I can't do it. And I was like, oh, you know what? Oh, you're right. Yeah, I totally get that. You're right. And he's just like, dude, I would love to. It would be so fucking cool. It'd be so fucking funny. It'd be perfect. But I can't do it. You know, I can't get fired. And I was like, no, I completely understand. No big deal whatsoever. And we're about 5 minutes later, we're sitting there drinking. About 5-10 minutes later, he's like, well, you know what? Like, I could do it, but like, it couldn't be recorded or anything like that. I was like, no, it's cool. Like, you don't have to, you know, it's just like, well, no, I mean, like, well, it could be recorded, but it just can't hit the internet. Like, I can't get fired. I can't.
Yeah. And we're like, yeah, that's possible.
I don't want you to lose your job either. And to be honest with you, there's no way that this is going to get recorded just for our home personal use and it not hit the internet. Like, so, you know, it's no big deal. Like, honestly, I appreciate it. It would be funny as shit, but I totally understand where you're coming from. You don't want to fucking, that's fine. No big deal at all. About 15, 20 minutes later. Well, fuck that. Helen Bergeau was over here last night. I could do it. No, we're doing it. Fuck this. It's just all, I was like, I am not fucking arguing with you. Come on, let's go. So I run inside and fucking the Booze Cube himself and one of his buddies are playing Elder Dragon Hangover and I run over the table. I was all, I don't mean to interrupt your fucking goddamn commander game here, but we need to get this tournament started now because Bresler's gonna do coverage and I don't want him to get fucking sober enough to forget that he's gonna get fired. come on, let's do this. And so then we spent like forever trying to set it up. Like if you go to the fucking the page, like the Brewski Bistro Twitch TV page, like where it's got the coverage of it, you can see all the little tests before it, like when they were kind of trying to figure out the camera and shit. Like if you go back to like previous videos, it'll have all the tests. And there's one of them where we had it all set up. We had fucking Bresler sitting in the little corner, fucking like picture in picture fucking screen and them trying to get it set up. But unfortunately,
yeah, it was a headset. Like it all came down. Yeah. If we had one headset. It would have been me and Bresler could have done coverage for the Boost.
It was a bad internet connection. You can even better use
Matt
Wi-Fi.
The head judge.
Oh yeah, then oh, I got yeah, God. I got roped into being the fucking head judge.
So
I don't know
was
how.
The guy that kept yelling judge. There was some guy judge like yeah. Like more than that a regular.
Who was
game.
The guy who won?
Yeah,
was,
he the most hated yeah, man of Magic.
Spencer.
Spencer. Yeah.
Fuck Spencer.
Yeah, fucking man. He,
everybody hates Spencer for winning that map, but I do have to say I completely understand why.
I love him, but I hate that motherfucker.
Yeah, because you were in the Booze Cube. You were in the top four. You almost took it down, man.
No, Jason got fucking ass raped, like, in the finals.
Yeah.
Like
Jason and I both got beat by the worst circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
I got knocked out by a motherfucking husband and wife duo, okay?
Yeah. Was that? Oh, yeah. Was it Chaz Andres? Or
yeah, Chaz. So, yeah, we didn't even mention
Chaz
that.
From
so,
Star City.
Chaz from Star City that we rag on all the fucking time was there, right? And I ragged the shit out of him during the fucking barbecue. I'm like, man. And he basically, you know, I gotta give him credit, man. I gotta come clean and say, you know what? The guy's not all bad. And
no, he's actually a pretty cool guy.
He is a totally cool guy. And he basically laid it to me straight. And he's like, look, man, you know, finance is finance. Whether you agree with it or not, you know, of course he played a bit of the line there, like Star City Games doesn't do pump and dumps and all that. But, you know, it is what it is. And I kind of respect him a little more. So I'll give him his props,
what ends up
man.
What ended up happening in the Booze Cube is so his wife ends up in the finals with Spencer and Jason. And then, cause it's a three player fucking like multiplayer match and in the finals for the fucking mat. And then there was also like the other side of the fucking Booze Cube prize was like something to do with the card that the Booze Cube was going to do for the winner. I don't know exactly what it ended up being cause I was drunk at that point.
But
it was a derfed art. You were going to get a derfed art. Custom card into the Booze Cube.
Oh, into the Booze Cube. Yeah. Yeah. It's basically fucking like our version of a fucking invitational card. Like,
yeah, that was awesome.
You know, and so like, so then fucking shit goes down, match goes down, and you guys can watch this whole shit. You can try to decipher what the fuck is going on from the coverage if you want to go look at it, except for Robot Large, you're not allowed to. for other reasons. So poor Jason gets fucking ganged up on by Spencer and Chaz's wife, gets killed, knocked out, and then as soon as he gets knocked out.
I didn't lose, I scooped. What happened was there's a card called That's What She Said. Like,
Yeah.
Fucking read her hand and tell her what to play, and she's kind of like, no, but he's like, yeah, we're a team now. And, I probably could have pulled it out if she hadn't drawn the card That's What She Said. Basically, it bounces a permanent, and anytime somebody says something at the table, the person can say, that's what she said. And if somebody laughs, they get it back. And so I was like, this is going to be bullshit in multiplayer. And she goes, that's what she said. Spencer goes, man. And I'm like, oh, so you're going to laugh every time she says that's what she said? And like the two of you are just going to bounce all of my permanents. He's like, yeah, pretty much. And I was like, okay.
So
I just
come up. So then, yeah, okay. So then Jason scoops. And as soon as Jason scoops, they look at each other like prize split. Spencer's all prize split. I take the playmat. You take the card. Deal. That's the end.
Fucker. That's why he's the most hated man.
The reason why I was so angry at Jason is because for weeks and weeks and weeks, we all had talked about drawing a bunch of dicks.
Jason
on
or Spencer?
Sorry, I'm drunk.
Mad at me for other reasons.
That's okay, me too.
Yeah, so Spencer was like, we had talked weeks and weeks and weeks about drawing dicks on the Booze Cube playmat.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the next day, Spencer was like, oh, like, yeah, I want everybody to sign my Booze Cube playmat. And I was like, all right, I'm going to sign my name with the dick underneath of it. And he was like, okay. And then I did it, and he was like, what the fuck? You actually put a dick on my playmat? And I was like, fuck yeah, I put a dick on my
I am proud of you, Slick. I am very proud of you.
That was fucking awesome, man.
So that was like that at that point, and it was still kind of early, right? That Saturday night, like, I mean, it was late under normal standards, but not like Vegas standards. Like, that got done, but there was still a ton of shit happening in the house. Like, everybody all over the place was still up drinking, having a good old fucking time.
Yeah.
We were literally up till 7 in the morning. It was like Kevy, like, JR, Norbs was outside, and Marsala, and, like, it was literally like 7 in the morning. I go inside, sleep for like 3 hours, and just like snap awake 3 hours later, totally fine, and realize that everybody has gone to the tournament site and left me.
No, I woke up on the couch. I wasn't even in my bed. I woke up on the couch with a blanket on me. It was like fucking 10:30, 11 o'clock in the morning. I was like, oh, this is much more sleep than I got last night, but I have no fucking clue where I'm at. And why am I on the couch? And then I look at my phone, and there's, you know, a shit ton of fucking Twitter messages. I start looking through them, and there's one, like, I think it's Mike Marsala, like, it's all, Kevy Metal passed out at 6 a.m. And I'm outside in the chair. I remember having this conversation sitting outside in the chair, but I'm passed out fucking drunk as shit. I do remember we ran out of mixers. And so you guys know what those like Reds fucking apple cider things are. Oh, wow. They're just like apple cider beer. And I was like, at some point I was drunk enough that we ran out of mixers. I was like, I don't really give a shit. And so I was just mixing those with vodka in a fucking giant clear fucking pitcher. And I was just, what makes it worse is I wasn't like all, oh, this is fucking terrible. Oh, God, I'm going to just choke this down. I was like, this is pretty fucking good.
It was so good. He was like passing it around the table. And we were all drinking out of this giant pitcher.
Are you serious? No.
Yeah. I fell asleep in the fucking driveway. I was asleep in the fucking driveway.
Well, hold on. There is
that part. We missed that. Helen Marshall.
Okay. Yeah, hold on. Nah, you fucking ruined it. Okay, back up. So here's what, like, it was like 3 or 4 in the morning. It was fucking late. And, it was about three. And, Helen obviously wanted to bail, and me, Durf, and Rye were like, all right, well, maybe we'll get a cab. And it was a bunch of people were kind of deciding who's going to bail. So me and Durf were the only people smart enough to make a call, because we took a cab's phone number, and we're like, so we make a call. So we call a cab, right? And now, I got sidetracked, and we're playing pool with Jagger, and we're just thing. And I hear Helen's like, well, a cab's here, and if nobody wants it, I'm going to take it. And, you know, it's loud. There's people screaming. It's like, wait, what? That's not our cab. I'm like, Helen, that's not your cab. You can't take my cab. And so she's like walking. She's like, fuck it. I'm just getting in this cab with some other guy. And they're literally getting in the cab. And I'm like, I say to the cab driver, I'm like, oh, okay, fine. Fuck it. I'm not going to. If you want to take our cab, take our cab. I'm like, but you got to send another cab back. And he's like, oh yeah, how many people? We could fit 5 people in this cab. I'm like, you can't fit 5 people plus a driver in this cab. And he's like, yeah, sure. So he was basically convincing me. He's like, yeah, you, Slick Jagger, his buddy, Durf, and Rye. I'm like, no, we're big. there's maybe Durf could, you could throw him in the trunk, but you can't. Like, there's no way all of us.
You just set him on the driver's lap and just fucking.
Well, that's the sad thing is the driver was like, yeah, Durf, he's like motioning. You come and sit between me and the
like,
passenger.
You come sit right here.
But Durf's like not having any of it, right? So we're like, fine, take the cab. And, I'm like, you gotta send a cab back, like for all of us. So I told him, like, send two cabs, right? Cause I know we're not all gonna fit. So the cabs come, me, Ryan, Durf bailed. And unfortunately, I guess Jack or his buddy didn't get the next one, and they fell asleep in the fucking driveway, just waiting for a cab.
I fell asleep in the fucking driveway, and thank God T-Moles and my boy Motika were actually awake enough to get the cab, because I was asleep with my backpack as a pillow in the middle of the fucking driveway, in the middle of the fucking desert. And all of a sudden I get woken up and it's like, yo, we got a cab back to the strip. And I'm like, wait, what?
That would have been fucking, if you would have stayed asleep in the driveway, like it's Vegas in the middle of the summer, dude, that would have been like full blown skin rape, like the next morning. Like,
oh yeah. And I'm fucking white as a sheet of paper, dude. I would have been a goddamn stop sign. I would have been.
So there would have just been like a big pile of ash in the morning. You come out like a vampire has been burnt.
Bro, what the fuck is that in the driveway? Not who is that. What the fuck is that?
By the way, so the directions that Marcel gave to this house is like in the middle of fucking this long strip, and it's got a gate on it, and it's like doesn't look inviting at all. It looks like some crazy people live there that like do part-time FedEx work.
You could put a body in a barrel of acid like 2 feet away, and they would never find it.
Like the house is beautiful, but the front yard it's just a giant paved lot with FedEx trucks in it. So I'm not kidding. Like, we blew another $20 in the cab truck. Like we drove by, and then like Rye is on his freaking iPad, like, it says it's right here. So we drive back again. And I'm like, I don't see it. I mean, it's a FedEx depot. And we drive back again. And I'm like, you know what? Just let us off. And the guy lets us off. And we're like, it says it's right here. And I'm like, wait a minute. Do you think it's right there?
Is my GPS off?
No, but you know what I said? I'm like, I think Marcel rented trucks. I think I remember him saying something like he rented trucks to bring all the meat, you know? Like, so that's how we found the fucking place. Like, who, next time put a damn sign on the front or something, man. That thing was so hard to find.
No, I gotta say the same thing. It just ended up that way. And especially cause I think we all tried to show up at the house in the dark. And so, like, I had seen pictures of the house before, but of course, like, you know, the pictures they put are the flattering pictures. They're like, look at the pool in the backyard. Look at all these rooms in the house. They didn't show it from the front of the house. So like, you're just all, what the fuck?
Is this
thing like
look
an industrial
like?
Lot? Like, what the fuck is this? But as soon as you walk in the front door, you're like, oh, this is where we're at. This place is awesome.
And then I guess, and so day two begins. And I mean, we have to ask KYT, Mr. Day Two himself. I mean, cause he basically kind of disappeared the whole time. He was doing his own shit. And then like day two, he just shows up and starts wrecking shit. So what happened, KYT?
I think he's full blown, like, afraid of us. Like, he's all, I don't want to go to jail in America. Like, that doesn't sound like a good idea. So I'll keep my distance until Sunday.
Yeah. He was running background check.
Marcel did better than me, though.
Yeah. So what was your deck? Yeah, like, what deck did you have?
Dude, before KYT goes into this, when KYT handed me his fucking deck, I was just like, Jesus. I mean, and like for Modern Masters, you know, I'm a heavy limited player and I've just gone green blue suspend. Like that's the fucking wheelhouse. But when I saw this Goblins deck, I literally went from 6 to 12, man. I was fully cocked. Yeah. It was unreal.
Oh, hey, finally lost. I'm so proud of you for fucking playing Goblins.
Yeah, he was channeling Kevy.
I mean, the format's really hard because every card is just really good, and it's really hard to come away with a bad deck just because it's hard to even think of a handful of cards that are limited unplayable. So I just got past, I jumped into Goblins really late and was able to still get enough playables to have a very good deck, a deck that could 3-0, but I did.
No, I have to ask you, boss. Like, I was curious about this. Like, I rolled out. Like, we were looking for you because I didn't get to. I didn't even see you till fucking day two. Like, right. I knew we were in the same town because my balls were all tingly, but I knew I didn't actually get to see you. But then, like, you guys had your draft pods going. I think it was like round one or round, I want to say it was like the beginning of round two on day two. And like I kind of found where, like, you know, where Marcel was sitting, where you were sitting, where Hayne was sitting. And I was coming to kind of check shit out, and I rolled up next to the table and I was kind of looking over. And I was like, oh, cool, there's KYT. And I was like fucking 5 feet away from you. And I'm like, because you're looking at your cards and shit like that. And you looked up and I just kind of did the like, oh, hey. And you just kind of rolled your eyes. And I don't even know if he saw me. Like, I think he was just rolling his eyes at his fucking draft pick. I was like, I don't even know. Did you actually see me standing there at that point? Or were you just rolling your eyes into oblivion?
He was hoping you wouldn't notice him.
Yeah, that's actually the vibe I got. He's just all, shit. Like, I need to deal with this right now. Like, I've got this to deal with. I've got to try to draft a good deck out of this shit fucking pack in my hand. Oh, god damn it, there's Kevy Metal. Just don't make eye contact.
It's more like some judges are really strict about it. You can just get DQ'd by just looking at anything. Like, some judges are pretty... and I think I was still very much in contention, so was taking it very seriously, but I did see you.
I seriously was actually curious whether, like, you know, I'm not worried about the reasons. I just curious as all. I wonder if he actually even saw me. Cause I was like standing there like, oh, what's up, boss? But I also would do the same shit if I were in your shoes. I'd be like, oh, I don't know that guy, Judge. I'm sorry. Like, he's a crazy
guy. Yeah, I don't want to be guilty by association.
Yeah, look, I own that website and he's wearing the shirt and I don't even know who that guy is. That dude's been following me since my hotel. Could you please remove him?
It was really weird because I'm taking it really seriously. And then the guy next to me, he has his friend come by and ask, like, it's like in the middle of the draft, ask for like his keys to the car. I'm like, what the fuck, man?
This isn't how it works.
Yeah. So, and the guy's like, you only, like, it was in the middle of the pack where you, I know Marcel knows, where it comes down to like 10 seconds per pick or something, or even less, like you have 5 seconds. So like, his friend just comes by and's like, can I have the keys to your car or whatever? And it's like, what the fuck, man? I'm freaking drafting on day two, so.
Yeah, leave me alone. Get away.
Yeah. just wait. Can it wait until after the draft? Like,
no, I need the keys right now. You don't understand.
Oh, there's this bitch that's going back to the hotel and we're going to get down. I need the keys, motherfucker.
Yeah, you know what was the funniest part? So, Rich, MTG Rich, Hagon, he was drafting, right? And I had no idea that you weren't allowed while they were drafting, like, look at them or like, cause I cut right through the fucking draft, right? Like,
what the fucker?
Yeah, and the judges are like, they're like, what? And they're trying to come after me and they're trying to cut me off. And I see Hagon cause I was going to take a piss and I slap him on the back. I'm like, take this bitch down. And the fucking judge like pulls me. He's like, you can't fucking talk to anybody. What are you doing? And Hagon's like puts his hands over here. I don't know what this fucking guy is doing. And I just fucking walk right through there. I'm like, yeah, whatever, man. Fuck this. Like, I gotta give my boy props. He's doing good, right?
Gotta go give him love.
So KYT, like, tell me, like, did you make points on this event? Like, did you get?
No.
Oh, man.
So the dream. I opened a Goyf. I opened a Goyf. So
you did. What a fucking lucky bastard, man. Holy shit.
I almost passed it, boy.
Oh, man.
Almost.
Yeah, it was.
And you remember
three.
What podcast you were on.
Yeah, well, no, it wasn't that. I didn't even see it. Because I went through my pack, and I'm looking like, oh, there's nothing here. The foil's no good. And then, like, yeah, Path to Exile, I need this for my deck. And there's some other removal, I think, like a Found in Silence. I was like, no, these could fit in, but I got enough removal. I was kind of thinking about it, and I'd say, wait, what's this green card? I'm like, oh, this is $100 bill right here. Slam.
Oh, shit.
Ship
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah. No wonder it's green.
And then I ended up 3-0 in that pod, so it didn't matter whatsoever. So that was pretty cool. You know,
that's a bonus.
Yeah. That was all good.
Now, what did they give you, Marcel, like after doing all this? You didn't money, right?
No, I didn't do money because I lost the last two. Rounds. I went 4-0, but if I would have won one more, I probably would have made money.
But what's his name? Did money, right? He won 400.
Corbin. Corbin got 24th.
24th. Holy 20, shit.
24th.
Yeah, I was
that is fucking awesome. Hey, just middle of the fucking podcast, shout out to Corbin for fucking wrecking
shot. Totally shut out, man. Like,
yeah,
that's
he just
insane.
Crushed it. He came out.
That's what was so fucking nuts to me. Like, oh, honestly, not that I don't have faith in you motherfuckers as fucking Magic players, because I know you guys are all way better than me. But no, I have no faith in you motherfuckers as Magic players. No. No, like, really, I didn't expect, like, the fucking drunk house to show like we did. Like, that was amazing. Like,
That's all I wanted to do.
KYC included, even though he didn't even make it to the drunk house, but like, by being our employer, fucking, he's an extension of it.
Yeah, I'm sure he wants that on his resume.
Yeah, I'm, oh, god damn it. I'm actually affiliated with these people.
Yeah. I mean, that was my whole thing. I was like, I'm not gonna let me getting fucked up, staying up all night long, doing what I do, affect me at this game. I'm gonna come here and just play, you know?
I don't know how you did that. Mind over matter, like, dude, that's...
I know what happened. I don't, because as soon as I got home, like, you guys are talking about let's go out on Sunday. I was like, yeah, let's do that. So I get home, I ate a little bit of food, my head hit the pillow like a rock.
Yep.
You know, it was the best. So after, I guess we were all standing around and, me and KYT were standing there and fucking, we were trying to figure out what are we doing for dinner. And it took like an hour to figure out, like, you know, what's everyone doing? What's going on? And then Durf jumps in a fucking pod. We're like, what are you doing? We're trying to fucking get out of here and you're fucking playing Magic?
Fuck this.
And he's in there and he's fucking wrecking shop, man. And KYT is looking at him. He's like, Matt, look at what he's doing. And I'm like, yeah. He's like, is he good at Magic? And I'm like, I don't know. And then he looks back at me like, nah, he's fucking horrible, man. He is not good at Magic at all. Like, and he's got a fucking he's using a deck box as a centaur token. And I think it was just like freaking the guy out. Like, what the fuck is that thing? Is that like 2020? And then the best about Durf is he win. I get, like, I don't even know. Like, he literally, like, we see people scooping and KOT's like, did you win? And he just looks at us and shrugs. And then I look at and KYT's like, what did he say? I'm like, I don't speak Durf. I don't know. Did you win? And I'm like, did you win? And he just like, he shrugs his shoulders again. And KYT's like, I have no idea if he won or not. I don't know what the fuck he's telling me. And I'm like, I don't know. I think we just watch and see what happens. Like, if he gets up and shakes his hand, I think he's won. You know, like, it was fucking hilarious. Oh my god. And then we were just like, we just wanted to get the fuck out of there. And we picked up our packs. And, well, actually, back up to that. So while we were waiting to see if Marcel would scrub out or not, a bunch of us decided to do a chaos draft, which was, we were going to try to enter the Modern Masters, then we were going to try to do the two-headed giant. And then we did a chaos draft, which I got to say, that was fun as hell in the beginning.
For a good few minutes, that was fun as shit.
Yeah. No, it was really cool. I mean, drafting was fun. We just picked the stupidest packs. Like,
yeah, drafting was fun as shit.
Yeah. Now, so, like, we drafted a bunch of shit, and we played. I think we got in the middle of the first round. And then
hold on.
All right, go back.
Daddy.
Yes.
No. Well, what you got to realize is that, like, my boy Mike, who was there with us, who pulled the foil gifts.
Yeah, cool. Runs hot. What a fuck.
Running motherfucking hot. We did a chaos draft, and this asshole, pack one, pick one, pulls a foil sort of light and shadow.
Yeah.
No shit.
And we're like, who picked the fucking Modern Masters pack? One, like, what the fuck? Who picked
and it was just like, oh, there's like three or four Modern Masters packs in here. Oh, what? And it's like, really? And you happen to open that one. Dick.
Yeah. One dick.
He is a very good limited player. Though. Oh. I must say, he is fucking very good. But anyways.
He ran hot.
Now, Slick, I have to ask, now, like, before we get out of chronological order, which I'm sure we've done this whole fucking cast, was this before or after we found a baseball game?
No, this is after
we found the baseball game, because
we missed out. Like,
me, Kevy, Mike Marsala, Sup Stevie, and Time Elemental, I think, right? It was a four.
Yeah.
So the convention center that GP Vegas was in, is attached to the Las Vegas Minor League Baseball Stadium.
Now we had no idea about this.
Yeah. Not a fucking clue. And me and Kevy are just trying to get drunk the whole fucking time, basically.
Essentially.
And, and JR comes up to us, who's Time Elemental, and he was like, oh yeah, like, there's a baseball game going on, you know, like, we can go over there. We're like, all right, yep.
No, Stevie.
Ball, like, we're going to
Stevie
do that
came
shit.
Up and he's all, you know, there's a bar here. And we're like, yeah, I know. It's up the street. Like, you know, you got to go like up the street a little ways past the Shell station. She's like, no. You know, there's a fucking baseball field attached to this place. And we're like, what?
Right,
like, I'm thinking like fucking like, you know, little my, you know, kids playing baseball. I'm like, we probably shouldn't be there. And he's like, no, there's like a full blown fucking baseball stadium, like out the back door. What? Are you kidding me? And he's like, no, come here, follow us. There's a bar. Come on. All right, fine. Fuck it. So we walk out the back door of the convention center and up like a cement ramp and all of a sudden come around a corner and we're on the fucking first tier looking down at a fucking minor league baseball game.
And then all of a sudden.
What the fuck? And then we turn left and there's a fucking beer booth, you know, like any other fucking baseball stadium. But you walk up, of course it's Vegas, you walk up and they've got bottles of liquor, like a fucking bar behind it. And we're like, well shit, let's get some drinks. So we get some drinks. We turn back around. We all got our rock stars and vodkas and shit like that. And we turn back around and we're just kind of watching this baseball game for no good reason at all. And then at some point somebody walked up because we're like, oh, well, you know, should we sit down? Like, I don't think so. I think you actually need a ticket to fucking sit down in the seats. Let's just drink our drinks and not be, you know, complete assholes and fucking finish these drinks, go back into the convention center. And then one of the group walked up to the chick that looked like she was completely hating her life for being there. There was like an usher for the aisle and he's like, hey, do you have, I think it was Stevie again. He's like, hey, do we have to have tickets to go sit down in these seats? She's like, I don't give a shit. You guys can go sit down there. It's a minor league baseball game. Like half the stadium's empty. She's like, you guys can go sit down there. So like, fuck it. You guys want to do it? All right, cool. So we go sit down, shuffle our way into the fucking, into the aisle, and then here we are. We're like, right on. We're right, like, right here behind fucking home plate, watching fucking baseball game.
we watched, like, two innings of baseball, yeah. Just drinking Rockstar and vodka.
Yeah, most random shit ever. You walk out the back door of a GP, and you're just in a minor league baseball game. These people from Vegas probably paid fucking money for these seats, but, like, she's just all, go sit down, you're cool. So we sat there, and we finished our drinks, and then it wasn't until I got the whole, like, Norbert just all, Maddie's here looking for you. How far's the baseball stadium? I was like, oh shit, we're coming back inside. Hold on. And we came back.
I never
back
saw inside. It. Like, right behind the building?
Yeah, it was literally out the back door of the fucking, like, not like you have to walk down the street or anything. It is part of the complex. Like, it's attached to the back of the convention center. There's a minor league baseball field that just happened to have a minor league baseball game going on, and we all sat down and watched it. It was fucking awesome.
I mean, like, it was crazy. Like, we ended up hooking up. We played our chaos draft. We got it around one, and then, fuck, man, I guess you had to stop running hot at some point, and someone
then
fucking,
bad juju happened.
Yeah, and someone snagged, poor Michael Mosalla's shit. They swiped his bag and stuff, so I mean, you know what, I gotta say, I mean, I'm not gonna
say,
get,
you guys, I'm proud of you motherfuckers for handling business.
Well, hold on, I mean, I'm not gonna get all sappy here and, you know, suck everybody off, but like, it was really impressive.
No, do it. Hold on, I fart.
No, get the fuck out. But, it was really, I mean, it was pretty fucking cool, you know, and this is a shout out to all of the SUV and like everyone, like, you know, he's like, oh man, my shit got stolen, and literally like the next second, I'm like, here's all the money in my pocket, I just need $20 for a cab ride, here's all my cards, and like, everyone gave.
I literally remember those words coming out of your mouth, Maddie. You're like, I need $20 for a cab, here's all the money in my pocket, and everybody threw down and fucking helped out, because I mean, that shit just sucks. Like, basically what it came down to was like, he didn't have his whole like bag stolen, but like the bag that had all of his altars and tokens and shit like that, and got swiped while we were doing our little chaos draft. And it was like, you know, obviously he's upset about it, and he's just like, oh fuck, man. So we looked around, looked in the trash cans, made sure nobody threw the bag away or something, and looked all over the place. Obviously they were fucking gone. And I'm proud of you guys all for fucking, and all of you SVU members for fucking just throwing in like all the money they had in pockets. And like Stevie went and stood in line for RK Post to get fucking what he could.
Fucking awesome.
Altered again. This is our fucking, this is our fucking fan club, man. This is our group of people that like, and you guys too with Brainstorm, like same fucking group of people basically.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I gotta say, it was awesome, man. So
I was proud of you motherfuckers for that.
We tried to make it better, but that was it. And then it was hilarious because we were just trying to figure out what the fuck we're doing. After that point, we're like, we're just pissed off now. I'm like, can't we flip a fucking table? Like, this is bullshit. I didn't even get to fight no one.
Flip a table a few times. I remember there being a conversation about how funny it would be if I just sat there by myself. playing, like, play mat out, cards out, just playing Magic by myself at a table, and then just freak out and fucking flip the table.
I wanted to get that on camera.
I think at that point, after the Ginger, you know, unfortunately lost his stuff, and we all did a round, Maddie just started throwing cards at pedestrians.
Well, no. So, okay, so here's it. Okay, so here's... We cracked our packs. So that we just all went up. Dropping out of the Return to Ravnica, whatever, the free fucking thing we got.
Oh, yeah. No, somebody came up and they're just all... Or no, it was you that came up. You're like, do you know you just get free packs?
Yeah. I didn't even... I honestly forgot.
What are you talking about? Yeah. Oh, no, we got this fucking... Like, VIP gets, like, a special VIP draft where it's just fucking free to enter. And all you can do is you go up and it's just a fucking... Like the block, the fucking gate crash, or fucking Return to Ravnica block draft, so we all get fucking free packs.
Now,
let's go up and fucking present our shit and get our free packs. All you gotta do is drop.
Yeah.
Sounds like,
hey,
man.
Kevy?
Hmm?
We have no problems with the fuck quota this time.
Yeah,
congratulations.
We're done. There you go, man. You did it.
Are you telling me not to say fuck anymore for the rest of the
time? I just found it hilarious. I was just telling somebody last week, oh yeah, don't worry, we pretty much chilled on it. And I'm sitting here thinking, oh shit, that just went out the window.
We're trying,
I don't know if we're officially PG-13 anymore.
No, I don't think so.
Look, still PG-13 if you just listen to the intro. I told you guys this.
That's
earlier.
It. So anyways, we, it was ridiculous. Like, the judges were being really retarded about this. They were making us stand there and wait until, an 8-man pod would fire before they would let us drop. And we're like, we just want to drop. I can write my fucking name and give me my packs. Like, what are you doing? He's like, nope, the people who want to play want you to play. I'm like, well, we don't want to fucking play. We want to go home. And the guy's arguing with me, and I'm looking at Kevin. I'm like, will you punch this guy? Like, somebody just give me my fucking packs. Like, we're tired. We just want to go enjoy the last night in Vegas. Like, holy Christ. So he finally gives us our packs, and I'm like, I go to Jagger's buddy, because he's running hot. I'm like, can you open my packs and pull a Goyf or something? Pull a fucking anything, a foil voice resurgent for me. So, and of course, he's like, yeah, you got the good packs. We crack them. I got nothing but garbage. And now so everybody's cracking our packs, and we're like, is there enough money to like trade in and pay for half a cab ride? Like, no one wants any of the fucking cards. Like, we're like, it's all bullshit. And I'm standing there with a handful of cards, like, that are worthless. And there's, like, this, like,
Rare.
Yeah, it's just, there's this there's a card vulture. This fucking old man, he comes by, hey, you guys throwing those cards away? We're like, yeah, we're fucking throwing them away. And he just starts taking them all. So I'm like, well, hold on, just give me a stack. And I'm walking around, and we're deciding what to do, and I'm like, you know, because I can flick cards pretty fucking good. And I was like, I wonder if I could just flick one card into the garbage. I wasn't going to start flicking them all over. I was just going to – I'm waiting for KYT or somebody to fucking decide what to do. And I flick one card, and it goes really far, and like, ding. I'm like, wow, that was really fucking good. And this whole hall is pretty empty. I'm like, I bet I could get it even farther than that. And I flick another card, and Slick Jagger's like, how the fuck did you just flick that card so far? I'm like, oh, that's nothing. And now if you get me going, they're all like, how far could you do? I'm like, I could probably hit the fucking ceiling if I wanted to. So I'm fucking whipping them, and they're going so far, like people are drafting, and a card falls from the fucking ceiling, and they're like, what the fuck's going on? So I was doing my ninja card thing, flicking cards around, and I could see like people out there just looking at me like, oh, sacrilegious, those are Magic cards. Dare you? But
all in all, guys. Well, I mean, how do you feel about this GP experience? What was your highlights, or what do you look forward to the next time?
Oh man, I mean, I think that was, and without a doubt, like I said, it was the best weekend in 10 years I've had, even without the Magic. So
wow,
I know. I'm gonna say it, man.
You need to get out more, man.
No. Life sucks.
Yeah. No, that was fucking amazing.
Sadly, that's true. That could be true, very much. But it was fun. I mean, it was awesome. I would love to do it again. I'm down, man.
I got to taste alcohol for the first time. It was a good weekend.
Yeah, that was kind of cool.
I don't think anybody believes me because, like, on the booze queue, like, this be drinking Jaeger out of the bottle.
No, really? Are you serious? Don't be joking.
Yeah.
No, I'm pretty sure there's footage of me drinking Jaeger out of the bottle.
Sunday night was
God.
Was exquisite.
Oh, I didn't even fucking.
We didn't even get to that because you.
I don't know if you know. I know that we talked about having cast exclusives, so I don't know if that's going to be an exclusive.
I'll leave it up to you guys. You can vote right now. So there's a story about us getting completely hammered with MILF sitting on us. Do I tell this now, or is this a Heavy Meta exclusive?
Sounds like a Heavy Meta exclusive because nobody but you guys was there for that.
All right, yeah. John. So if you're listening to this on the other cast, head on over.
Well, hey, let's say real quick, like to give like a my end of Sunday night real quick.
Yeah.
Because, all right, Sunday rolls around. I've had enough of everything. Like, this is basically just a big, long shout-out. But I've had enough of fucking, like, everything. I'm just all right, man. Like, I've got to get back home. Like, I'm down for drinking some more if I was staying here, but I also have to get back home at some point. But, see, what happened was fucking Raging Gumby, David, he, like, when he dropped fucking Saturday, he jumped into the Winterbox fucking draft. And he went through two pods undefeated. And then what they did was said, hey, all right, the top eight, like everybody that wins these pods or whatever, you go to top eight. But top eight was at 8:30 on Sunday night. And what it ended up, he's like, basically, I've got a box of Modern Masters guaranteed for my win so far. He's like, if I go to top eight, the way the prizes break down is I get basically a box of Modern Masters for every round I win. Because you get fucking first place gets four boxes and, you know, down on through. So he's just like, first place got four boxes and it's like down through that. So he's like, essentially like every round I win, I get another box. I'm guaranteed one box and every round I win, I get another box. I was like, fucking, you have to do it. He's like, yeah, I'm gonna. Now this poor guy has to work at fucking 5 o'clock on Monday morning. I'm no joke. 5 o'clock Monday morning and it's Sunday night. Or it was Sunday afternoon, we're hanging around waiting, just like, we don't have shit to do all day, but we gotta sit around, wait for this fucking event to fire, and they basically told us, like, yeah, it'll probably be about 8:30 before it fires. And so, on a side note, I just, like, I found this whole new addiction, because this was the first time I've ever been to, like, a GP, and outside my local fucking game store, and just, like, all the vendors, like, seeing all the fucking cards laid out that I could fucking spend most of my money on. Yeah, I'm probably gonna start buying all of those. but like, yeah, I have this whole new paper addiction now, not even to play with. I'm just, all those cards are so pretty. But anyway, we were walking around basically just doing that, like eating and fucking hanging out, looking at fucking vendors and shit like that, because we just have nothing to do but fucking time to kill so that he can play this fucking top eight. And like, the dude is an amazing, amazing fucking Magic player. I have more respect for him now than I did before. So we sit around, we wait. And then they show like 8:30. They finally fucking, they get everybody together for the top eight. And there's seven of them standing there, and they don't know where the other guy's at, because they were like, you know, the judges at this point were just like, fucking, I hate everybody that plays Magic. This is fucking garbage. So we got seven of the eight players there. They're like, we're going to try to fire this thing now. And then the judge comes up, and he's just like, all right, we broke it down. Like, the math on the boxes is like, we can do one of two things. We can either beat our fucking brains in and play a couple more hours of fucking Magic, or you guys can just all fucking split, and we're cool with that. And you guys can each just grab two boxes. And nice. It was like, all right, fuck it. So then everybody's standing there, and like, David, I got to give him credit. David's just like, I got to fucking work at 5 o'clock in the morning, and I still got a 4-hour drive home. I'm down to play for those four boxes, but if you guys all want to do this, then let's split. So everybody fucking raises their hand, everybody's down to split, and then there's one guy missing though. And everybody's like, well, fuck that guy. He's not here. Like, he didn't make it in time, and they're like, it's like, well, in all fairness, like, he's not here to know that the event is starting. They haven't announced it. Like, at least announce the event. About 10 minutes later, they found the dude, luckily, and the dude was just like, well, yeah, I'm down. Fuck it. So he fucking, David got to just split and fucking take two boxes home.
Man, so, awesome.
I'm proud of that dude. He handled shit, but then he did what he needed to do. Because I didn't want to fucking drive home with him after that. Like, bullshit. So yeah, like, David fucking ended up with two boxes, like, at the last event of the whole goddamn weekend. So, yeah.
What about you, KYT? Did you enjoy this at all, or you're like, yeah, this is old hat, this is bullshit?
This was bullshit, man.
I knew it. He's like, I've done so many of these. I don't know what you fucking noobs are worried about.
This is just garbage now.
This is my second job.
It was the house that made the weekend for me. I mean, this was my first GP. I've never been to GP.
Oh, let that sink in, by the way. This is my first GP.
Yeah.
Yeah, UAT, this is the motherfucker that hit, dude.
Number 118 out of 4,500 on my first GP. It feels kind of good. Kind of put a fire under my ass, so I don't know about anything else.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah, I mean, but the house really, all that's pale in comparison to just how, you know, the house was just cracking and the party there, like really that brought it all together and all the people there, you know, just came with you guys were fun. I could definitely see myself doing it again. You know, it was a worthwhile experience.
GP this can't Woodstock. Not happen again.
Yeah, it will. It'll be an annual thing. But what about you, KYT? What did you do while you were in Vegas like that was memorable? Oh, do you not want to say?
I played some magic and then I went to bed.
No, we went pretty crazy on some nights. Won't mention the stuff that we did, but it was memorable.
That's how you know it's good.
Yeah. It was my fifth time in 5 years, but I've gone there with my parents twice, with my other friends twice, but it's definitely a lot different when I'm going with like magic friends, and especially with Alex, who likes to game everything. And so we were gaming like dinners, like anything you can think of, we were gaming, cab rides, etc. So definitely nice. Different experience. We stayed, like, we didn't sleep at all Sunday night. So it was a crazy experience. And Marcel, like, I was really impressed by his performance because he was literally two wins. He did better than me, first of all. And second of all, he was two wins away from like qualifying for the Pro Tour on his first Grand Prix. So,
oh,
like,
my God. Shit. Could you imagine that? Yeah. Fucking story of the decade. I would love to see Marcel make that. Cause then when he goes up to the Pro Tour, I would love to see you on coverage, you know. You'd be so mellow, like, what's up, man? Marcel, what's your secret? Oh, you just smoke a blunt before you play a match. You fucking kick ass, man.
The little bio that they do, it's just all, you know, like favorite quotes, like your high school yearbook quotes. So I don't give a F star. That's it.
It's way harder to get chronic in Dublin than it is in Vegas.
Yeah. I can imagine. How to stuck with in Vegas as it was.
Hey, that's the secret right there. That's why he didn't fucking make the Pro Tour. He's just like, what? No, fuck that. I'm not going to Dublin. And he just scrubbed out.
What about you, Jason?
What about me, man?
I don't know. What was your favorite part, man? Or did you were like, I'm fucking got a long drive and this is sucking. Back home.
His favorite part was me getting drunk and yelling at him about something that I don't even remember.
He told me how you hated to love me and loved to hate me.
Yeah, that was it.
It was the best night of my life.
Yeah, well,
old-timey wisdom from Kevy.
And shout out to the guy that fell asleep on the couch. I don't even know who he was, but there was like this like stranger on the couch for like the whole night. I don't know who that guy was, but everyone was like, take a picture of him. He's like fucking passed out. I don't know. He was a stranger. I don't remember him. No one ever introduced me. He was just fucking passed out the whole time. Oh man. Well, on that note, I guess we'll wrap up this episode.
Apparently it was time elemental.
Was it?
Oh yeah.
Was that time elemental? I wanted to meet him.
He lived in the house.
Was it? Fuck. Man.
Oh well.
Don't drink so much.
I didn't even know he was passed out.
Yeah, there you go. Alright, well,
there was a random on the couch. The game.
Oh, was there?
He was somebody. He wasn't a complete random, but he was somebody's friend of somebody.
Well, it was not JR though.
No, it wasn't JR. Okay. JR was on one couch, but it wasn't him. That other couch.
Some other random fuck just hanging out on the couch.
Yeah, that day, that's how it was that party.
Yeah, no shit.
Well, I mean, we could do shoutouts, but they would take fucking 90 years. And yes. we'll save shoutouts for everybody. They can, this is Medi Meva, so.
Quick shout out to Ryan and Corbin since they were not able to be here. So,
yeah, that's true.
Corbin for crashing, he doing 24 in the money. That's his, no better story than mine.
Yeah, no. definitely shout out to him. Shout out to Robot Large. Shout out to Durf.
Quick shout outs. Yeah, we have to give a huge fucking shout out to the fucking, the SVU, Robot Large and the Proxy Guy, and Nina especially for doing a fucking cast while we were out of town.
Yeah.
I listened to that today, and I fucking died the whole fucking time. You guys are fucking amazing. Like, they said, oh, hey, don't, you know, this probably sucks, but don't, so don't listen to it, but you guys did an awesome fucking job. That was really cool listening to. 3 fucking hours.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, that was really cool listening to. So I gotta give you guys a quick mention, cause that was fucking amazing.
So, I mean, thank you folks for listening to this episode of Mevy Meta. There will be bonus material after. And there's only one way we end an episode, and I will leave that to...
We got our special guest.
We promised Ginger Italian as part of his loss that he would get to sign this motherfucker off, so do it, my friend.
Go fuck yourself, San Diego.
Absolute garbage. No, that was fucking garbage. That was fucking horrible. After that build-up...
I was trying to be nice.
That's a good note to end it on, actually.
We've been nice enough to you. You had better fucking yell this one out.
Listen, KYT has opened my eyes. You tell people, when they suck, you fucking tell them. That was fucking horrible. And then people respect you.
Redeem yourself.
That's right. Do it right.
Say it again with feeling, motherfucker.
Go fuck yourself, San Diego.
Brainstorm Brewery is brought to you by GatheringMagic.com and CoolStuffInc.com. Show your support.
So, Corbin, would you like to talk about your experiences playing in the Grand Prix this weekend?
Yeah, sure. So for everyone listening, if you don't know, which would be impressive since I've talked about it so much on Twitter, I managed to sneak my way into 24th place in the event, which is pretty cool because it's the first GP I've played in 3 years and the first one I've ever day-2'd. So that was a pretty different experience. Like, it's been a very long time since I spent a weekend playing Magic instead of just trading cards. So
now, what record does one need to get 21st place at a 4,500 person Grand Prix?
Yeah, I went 12-2-1 on the weekend. I went 7-1-1 on day one, which means I needed the 6-0 day two to top eight, and then I went 5-1 on day two.
So you're telling me there was just tiebreakers between 6-0 and 5-1 on day two? You fell 16 places with that one loss.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow. That's,
if I had gone like 13-2, I could have top eighted. I think a 13-2 snuck in. But certainly a 13-1-1 would have made it.
Now that's incredibly tight play the whole weekend. Would you say going X2-1 was worth the $400 you got? Or would you have rather been doing something else for those 16 hours of play?
How about this? I think it was worth the $400 I got. The ability to say I now have lifetime pro points, and the fact that I rare drafted the crap out of the 2 Modern Masters drafts. How's that?
You won your pod rare drafting.
I won the second pod rare drafting. The first pod, I think I had a deck good enough to win. I kind of got mana screwed in the finals of it, but I drafted like Cryptic Command, a doubling season, and the second one, I pack 3. Pick 2, I think I took a Vendillion click without even looking at the rest of the pack. Literally just slammed it and didn't look at anything else. I also took some Pact of Negations just to rare draft. I mean, but the reason behind that is because the EV on it, right, is so much higher rare drafting, since in order to make, you have to top 64, 4,500 person event to make $200, where you can rare draft half of that without much of a problem. So that, you know, was kind of where I was coming from, that rare drafting was the better EV play. And the fact that it didn't cost me as much, like I was able, it didn't cost me a ton in terms of my deck, and I was able to actually have a, deck's good enough to go 5-1 on the day, which just kind of made it icing on the cake.
Sure, I get it. So you're advocating, if you can still put together a pretty decent deck, rare drafting an event like this. Now, would you advocate that for, say, M14?
No.
Absolutely not. So this is a Modern Masters specific strategy you've sort of applied.
So when you're getting past $45 cards, like a Vendillion click, you know, you have to justify not taking that. So that's part of it. The other half is just because it was such a large event, that you just have to be realistic about your chances. I mean, I could have lost my last, if I had not taken anything, just for money and then lost my last match, I wouldn't have got anything. You know, that last match amounted to a $400 match. So then I would have felt really silly about not redrafting, you know. So it's, I mean, it's a personal decision you have to make. But, you know, in this particular case, redrafting felt like it was a good decision.
Now, when I ran into you, I think it was round three. You indicated to me you weren't super interested in continuing to play. I advocated you dropping if that was how you felt about it.
It's true.
And you said, no, I can't justify dropping. Now, I watched you keep some pretty loose hands in the name of really not caring and being inclined to sort of go back to the house and hang out. Now, what role would you say luck played in the amount of success you had with your phenomenal record?
I mean, luck always plays a role, right? You can't, like, even if the best players in the world have a 70% win rate, in order to go 13-1-1 and top 8 the GP, everyone has to get lucky. And I'm certainly not even on their level. So, I mean, luck plays a part of it. I played well. I didn't play great. I mean, I made mistakes and missed triggers, and you know, there were certainly things I missed and screwed up on. You know, I played well enough, and then, you know, some breaks went my way. That's really all you can ask for in an event like that. You have to both play well and get lucky.
Now, what would you say to someone who has dismissed you and other members of this podcast as non-players?
I mean, I guess I just need to point him to this. And it's kind of started in GP Houston. We talked about it on the cast last week. I decided to do some playing, and I did well. And, you know, just because we – it's kind of like the same argument with judges, right? People say judges can't play Magic, so they judge. But, you know, a lot of times that's just incorrect. It's kind of the same thing. Just because, you know, I choose not to play Magic most of the time, I choose a trade, does not mean I can't play Magic. So, you know, if anyone wants to question my ability, then, you know, that's their prerogative. But I think I am, you know, my first GP in 3 years and I top 24, then, you know, that speaks for itself.
I think Rob Castellon crushing day one of that recent GP as a judge sort of put that sort of rumor to rest that judges are generally inferior Magic players.
Yeah, I mean, people, you know, people can say whatever they want, and it doesn't matter. You know, there's nothing you can do but play the game. So I'm certainly not going to make the argument that I'm some amazing Magic player, you know, but I'm competent enough, I guess, to when the breaks go my way, top 24 GP. So I'll take that.
Now, is there anything you would have rather been doing this weekend than playing?
With the way things worked out, no. Had it not worked out so well, I would have much preferred been at the house with everyone else where the party and the hanging out was going on. But, you know, because things worked out the way they did, I don't mind the way things went.
Certainly. Now, what would you say to someone who's thinking about potentially going to their first Grand Prix but doesn't really know what to expect? Maybe from a finance perspective, maybe one of our listeners is thinking, what is there for me to do if I'm not really going to sell or anything like that? Is it worth going to a Grand Prix if I don't primarily consider myself a Magic player?
So if they just want to go and hang out, I guess, because that's, you know, there's always something to do at a GP, whether it's somebody bringing their cube or watching. I think there's a vintage event that fired last weekend, and you just want to watch some Black Lotuses get played. I think that's probably exciting for a number of people. You know, there's so much going on. It's not just about playing. It's not just about even trading or buying or selling. It's, you know, honestly kind of like a convention, and there's just so much going on. There's so many people there that it's, you know, it's hard not to have a good time.
Now, you've been lumped in with a group referred to as Maniacs, among other things, by people that heard about the crazy shop crawl road trip procedure for getting there. Would you advocate doing a shop crawl to another Grand Prix? Did you think that was worth doing?
Yes, because it didn't take a ton of time. Like, we saved a lot of money by driving instead of flying. So, like, you know, that alone can make it worth it if you have the time to drive. And if you're going to drive, you may as well hit up some stores along the way and, you know, see what you can do. I mean, we had a good time in the car, and we had a good time going to some stores, even if it wasn't extremely profitable. So, you know, same thing. If you have a good group of people to go with and you're going to enjoy the trip regardless, go for it. Don't go if, you know, you have to make a bunch of money to make it worth it.
Okay. That's some good advice. Some wise words there.
It's bonus material for everyone there.
Yeah.